welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, hyphen, hyman, thing.
Batman.
Edmund O'Brien.
Batman.
Oh.
No.
Come on there, buddy. All right, let's see. 866-901-ADAM. Again, as I say every time about this time, now's the time to talk. Show gets moving. Show gets rolling. We have trouble slowing down.
Feeds off itself.
Right? We don't have time for your boring ass as the show gets going.
Well, we do. We just have time for your boring ass right now.
Right.
Your boring ass later gets really boring.
That's what I'm saying. That's right. We can tolerate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know what it is now? We're in a dentist office. And
don't confuse me, it's early, man.
We're in a dentist's office, and we're waiting.
Yeah. There's
nothing going on. And guess who didn't bring their cell phone, and they don't have their iPod.
And you look down, and cheerleader teacher magazine.
Right, there. You look down, and you go, what do they got here? And you flip through it, and you see three dental magazines, and then you see the Latino entrepreneur, and then you have school teacher,
yeah.
Teacher cheerleader magazine, and you go, screw that noise. And you sit for another couple of beats, and then you think, why didn't I bring my cell phone? Where the hell was my cell phone? Then you get angry at somebody for something to do with your cell phone.
Sure.
Told my wife to put on the charger. Well, I didn't tell her, but it was sitting right on the entry hall by my keys.
I use it every day. She doesn't go to work.
Could have tossed it on there. And then you glance to your right again, and you go, ooh, Orthodonture Weekly. What do we got here? What do we got here? Then you open it up. And you're like, gingivitis, friend or foe, well, let's just give it a peek. Let's give it a peek.
Do you hate it when people think that their part in your life is their job?
Talking about my wife and the cell phone?
Yes. For example, or my girlfriend or your new husband, Batman.
Well, quickly, because I know we're changing course here, I am saying that is this time. We are in that dental office. Later on, we're going to have our cell phone, our iPod, a couple of magazines we all want to read. We won't need you. Now we'll accept you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that yesterday I did a bazillion things, all of which to earn money. In the last 4 months, Amy's been to New York, Maui, somewhere else and somewhere else. And I was saying, hey, could you not have done that without being asked? It was a small thing. And she went, you know, I vacuumed your house, which is 800 square feet. Vacuum Manhattan, bitch!
How do you vacuum concrete floors?
Yeah.
I haven't moved into the condo yet. I'm still up the street.
I see. Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. A certain amount. Like, here's the thing about relationships. It'd be nice if your person could read your mind and take care of the stuff that's important to you. On the other hand, not you don't want them to read your mind so well that they knew you were having pleasuring yourself to your old girlfriend
right.
2 hours earlier.
ESP? Any of you?
No.
Okay,
what was I doing 2 hours ago?
Pleasuring yourself to your old girlfriend.
Okay, you're all pretty good.
There you go. Well, that's
a deal with you in for me.
That's just called smart money. But you do want whoever you're living with to kind of figure out what's important to you and what drives you insane.
Yeah,
that's the main one. The one that drives you insane. You know what? Like one that drives me insane is a lot of. I don't know if you guys do this, but you know the people who bust dishes, and a lot of people do this. I'll give you an example. Coffee mug with 2 inches of coffee sitting in the bottom of it that gets set on the edge of the sink, but never gets dumped into the sink or rinsed out. It just gets brought from the bedroom where the coffee was drank to the kitchen, which is a pretty good haul, but the journey is not completed because it just gets set, and it gets set right on the edge, and then that's it. And then 14 hours later, you dump it out and it has that weird ring where the coffee and the milk built up. And that's why you can't get it out of there. Why don't you dump it into the sink? Why can't you put water in it? Most people won't do that. And my wife can never understand how important that is to me because it's always brand new.
Although, she'll always have a warm spot for my seat sliding back. I'll never forget that. That kind of stuff means a ton to me.
She did
that, it does.
Move my seat back after she borrowed my car, but yes.
The difference between you and I, under our current circumstances, which I'm sure you hope are plenty, to reach the kitchen sink, you do not have to get out of the living room chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not kidding. If you really stretch, you're in the kitchen.
There's a pass-through right there.
And if you lean forward, you're turning on the TV. The only thing you'd have to get up to is go into a better bathroom.
Mm.
You can reach every single thing from one spot in my house.
Well,
it's this room.
It's, good and bad. Bad. You just want to talk about square footage. Bad with the kids. Got to get away from them kids.
I have some room. You know, it was your anniversary on Friday, Adam.
Did you
do anything nice?
We went out to have ourselves a nice meal, and then I took the kids on yesterday, over to Kimmel's house, and everyone ran around, and actually Jimmy's mom said something nice to me, made me think about it, as young Sonny was running around Kimmel's house, eating everything everyone gave him, and generally enjoying himself. And everyone was there with their Jimmy's family was in because they were in for the San Gennaro feast and they're in from Arizona.
Yep.
Oh, good. Well, ask about that in a second. She said, "Isn't it nice that when Sonny gets older, he can tell his kids or his friends that every Sunday we would go over to Jimmy's house and eat and watch Daddy get drunk and yell at the TV set. What a nice tradition." Yeah. And I thought, that is nice. My parents didn't have friends. I've spoken to a lot of people. I think we've discussed this in the weeks past. And I'm not sure how Teresa did. But when I talked to a lot of my friends, I realized their parents didn't really have friends either. And I want to know what the F was wrong with them. I want to know why they didn't have friends. Right. My parents were the same. I'm not judging them, or I am judging them. I'm also judging my family. Maybe it was the times. I don't know. I assume people had friends in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I don't know why my family didn't. Oh, they had friends like so-and-so from choir practice who never set foot in our house ever, or some guy my dad worked with he was friendly with when he saw him in the parking lot when they were leaving. But no friends. No real friends.
Nobody tight.
And, you know, people talk about that sort of, networking and marrying into money and it's who you know and all that. But what do you think friends can do? You know, I have a nephew. It's the Lynette's brother's son. And he's a good kid, and he's a hard worker, and he's 19. And I remember what it was like to be 19 and not exactly have a direction. And he wants to know about show business and Hollywood and all that good stuff. And it doesn't look like he's going to college. And he came out here from Chicago, and we pick up the phone and called Kimmel, and he's got a job over Kimmel. No problemo. Just a quick phone call. They're looking for 19-year-olds. I got a 19-year-old, and I just make a phone call. That's all. Easily done. This kid's smart. He's industrious. He'll probably work his way up to the top at some point, or at least by the time he's 25, be doing quite nicely instead of trapped in a crappy job in a crappy apartment, crappy relationship with a bunch of crappy roommates and no goddamn dental insurance like me. Nope, he'll just get started because Daddy had a couple of friends. Daddy was social. Daddy knew what it meant to meet somebody and go, "Hey, that guy's got something on the ball. Right. How about I get his phone number and how about I give him a buzz next week? Maybe we can tilt a few beers and I can pick his brain." I don't know why people don't have that or why my family never had that. Danny's family
never had that.
Never had. Now, your dad was Stalin-esque and spooky, but your mom seemed decent. She didn't have friends?
Always was decent. But no, I'll tell you, I see this makes stuff about personal about me again, but what can you do? When my neighbors found out that her 10-year-old made more than her husband's, they stopped speaking to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Are people, I always hear those stories, and then I think.
Absolutely.
You know, I hear those stories all the time. People go, oh, they're just jealous. And then for me, I'd speak to them more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I want to, you know, it's celebrity. It's attraction.
Not on your own block where you grew up. See, I'd already been there 5 years. They'd known me since I was four and egged their house and, you know what I mean, was a bad kid or whatever I was. All of a sudden, I out-earned my neighbor across the street, Judge Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The judge.
It's good work if you can get it, by the way. Bill did that over the weekend.
How about you, man? Judge Cox. The other guy, I believe, and I were never sure, I believe, was a CIA agent. Another one was a lawyer. Another one was a house builder. And I out-earned, at 10 years old, I out-earned my whole neighborhood, and none of the mothers would speak to my mother anymore.
But did they just go, I'm not going to, they just shunned her because you were working in television?
Good day, sir.
More details than I know, but if my mom never sleeps, you can call and ask her if you want.
She never sleeps?
My mom's a vampire.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah. 85, call right now. She'll go, hi.
Really?
Yeah.
You have her phone number?
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Wow.
You know what I think we should do?
We've never talked to Mrs. Bonaduce before.
No, I'd like to talk to her.
Yeah. Me too. I'll
tell you what, let's take a break. Good. Let's take a break and we'll call Mrs. Bonaduce. My folks get up early too, but it's like my dad goes to bed while the street lights, before they even come on. Like he'll go to bed at like 7:45. In the evening, then he'll wake up at 5:25.
Yeah, hello?
And then when he wants to have breakfast with me, he wants to do it at 6:30 in the morning. This is while I'm working on Loveline and going to bed at 2.
Hell yeah.
All right, we will call Mrs. Bonaduce and find out why she had no friends and if the neighbor shunned her next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's on deck this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Who's got game, baby? Today, from the kids in the hall and the new show, Garfoolers, Bruce McCullough. We'll recap T's big fake wedding from last Friday. Ozzy returns with a movie review. Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison. And in today's Music Monday, we'll talk about songs that get the party started. Oh, I got one. It's Get the Party Started. Jack, man, you are on point.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have Andy on line two, who I want to talk to. But first, as promised.
Oh, you already called her?
Danny's mother, yes.
I would just call her cold. You'd see 6:18 in the morning. Hi.
Really?
The woman's a vampire.
Betty Bonaduce.
Yes, indeed.
Great to speak to you now.
85, that woman right there.
85, and when do you go to sleep at night?
Well, all right, first things first, I'm not 83 until next week.
Well, die quicker, man. You're costing me money.
I'm trying.
You got to get in the greeting card business, Danny. Hey, Mrs. Bonaduce, what time do you go to bed at night?
Well, this morning it was about 2 o'clock.
You went to bed at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
And what time did you wake up?
4.
So you go to bed at 2 and wake up at 4, and then during the day, a nap at some point?
Every now and again, I'll get 5 minutes.
Every now and again, but as normal day would go, you would not take a nap during the day?
Not normally.
So you would sleep for 2 hours or so each evening?
If I'm lucky.
And how long has it been that way?
Most of my life.
Since I've known her. Because I don't sleep well either. I would get up at 3 in the morning to go get something to eat, and she'd be in the kitchen drinking coffee, reading the papers, just or whatever.
My mom would put in about 17 hours in the sack a day and then spend the rest of the time attempting to get dressed
and
so she can leave the house.
She's had a workout all day running from my dad, so yeah, she should be tired. Right.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, maybe your mother had more fun in bed than I did.
We met Mr. Carolla.
Yeah.
Is this where you get your sense of humor, Danny?
For my mom, this is where I get my pleasant, well-thought-out sense of humor. From my father, I get how fast can I make you bleed by thinking I'm clever.
Hey, Mrs. Bonaduce.
Why don't you call me Betty?
I'll call you Betty then. Thank you. Betty, you don't have or you didn't have many friends growing up when Danny was in the house. Is that correct?
Not a whole hell of a lot, no.
And why do you think that is?
I know why that is.
Well, we got a lot of reasons. We'll start with a father who didn't like people.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. And was violent. I mean, he could be violent with your neighbor kids.
Really?
Yeah.
And then we had two jealousy problems.
Don't say their names. The one across the street that worked for the CIA, that's the one I specifically remember.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what? Do you remember why she wouldn't speak to us anymore?
Yeah. The question of a raise had just come up for Danny, and I was arguing about it, and all of a sudden we stopped talking, and I asked my neighbor on the other side, what happened there? And she said, well, you just told her that your son makes more money a week than her husband, so she's not going to talk to you.
Mm. Her 10-year-old makes more money
Betty,
than your
CIA. Betty, you must have been very alienated on your block.
I must have been what?
Very. You must have felt lonely when the neighbors wouldn't talk to you.
Oh, you said alienated. I wasn't sure.
Hey, Mom, by the way, real quick, that's Teresa Strasser. She does the news and everything around here and also is an Emmy winner.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, Betty, did you have friends, though, prior to this?
Oh, well, I've always had friends. It was hard to have friends with the kind of a family I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now your husband, Danny's father, would tell people or tell you couldn't have your friends over, or was it just understood?
Well, it was sort of two things. One time I said, I am lonely. We have to have people over.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, but
I remember this.
Hey, God, we played a game. And we were playing cards, and I won. And he lunged across the table at me and scared all our friends away, and that was the last time we tried.
May I just say, that's a light version of that story.
Oh, really?
Bridge night at the Bonaducci's, not fun?
No, bridge night involves bridge work.
Oh, God, yeah. That was not good. So.
Yeah, I remember when my dad choked my mom out during a game of charades.
You know what? Here, you want to hear? You want to hear? And I've told this. I've told this on the on the show before. I believe, but with my mom on the phone, because my life has been so weird. Remember, you asked me to take some kind of test, and I said I would only do it with like a lie detector, because you'll never believe me after a while. Do you remember when John said to my dad he did not believe that the Industrial Revolution started in the late 1700s, but started with the invention of the wheel?
Was that the one in the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah. What'd he do?
Who's John?
My eldest brother, a genius.
Oh, yeah. He jumped across the table.
And stabbed him with a fork.
And started beating up on John and stabbed him with a fork.
In a restaurant.
Wow.
For saying that the invention of the wheel is what really started the Industrial Revolution.
To be fair, he was way off.
I disagree. I happen to think John's right. Then came fire, then came chicks, then came clubs.
Wow.
Right order.
Yeah, people keep saying, Betty, why don't you write a book? But I keep telling them I have to wait till the kids die.
Right.
Yeah.
And, hey, Betty is, now, did you guys ever get divorced?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I thought so, but it was a little late.
Can I have some interesting stuff?
Yeah.
Ask her what she does Wednesday nights.
What do you do Wednesday nights, Betty?
I sing in a gay club.
Oh, really?
Oh, I think I've heard about this. Someone told me.
What's the name
I've
of
seen
it?
Danny's mom sing.
Yeah.
So we can all come down and see you. Do you sing the same one every Wednesday?
Oh, I'm not there every Wednesday anymore because my voice is acting funny. But, most Wednesdays.
You are where?
It's at the, called The Other Side over in, on Hyperion.
In Silver Lake, The Other Side.
Yeah, Silver Lake, right
gay
here.
Gay bar in Silver Lake?
Imagine! Yeah.
The other side.
By the way, if you have a bar in Silver Lake, you do not need to say gay bar.
Redundant.
You just say bar. We'll do the math.
By the way, if you have a bar anywhere within a 20-mile radius, and you have a piano player who's any good, you also don't have to be gay. My mom just likes gays, but loves to sing. Mm-hmm. You want Betty Bonaducci booked in your club, fax me, email me, MySpace me. She loves to sing. Which is great.
Betty, what do you do? What songs do you sing?
I sing stuff that's so old, all the guys think it's new again.
Yeah, I think they call it kitschy.
Standards.
Standards, yeah.
It's great. They're standards. Yeah, I do the standards.
And is that what you did back in the day?
No, I'm a comedy writer.
Oh.
Just like Mr.
Bonaducci. I never knew that.
Wrote Dick Van Dyke Show, wrote Jeffersons, wrote Good Times. She has Daddy being Italian. Daddy didn't give her the credit she deserved, and she ended up with no pension after the divorce. And I watched that woman write half those shows.
Oh man.
Betty, when you married Danny's dad, did you know that he was violent?
No. I just thought he was a very dedicated family man.
Mm-hmm. passionate family man.
Well, the family, it was by him, family was him. So I didn't realize that.
Are you glad he's gone, Betty?
Yeah.
Me too.
What a legacy.
Dude, how cool are my mom and I?
Thank you Betty Bonaducci.
Yep.
Well, look, all those who are out there doing horrible things to people all day, every day, the idea that your family, the woman you married, who's the mother of your children, and your children are glad you're not around anymore, is the worst legacy you can leave behind.
I will say this. As you know, I hated my stepmother.
Don't forget he was a genius. You got to give him that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this. You know, like when somebody dies suddenly, you always say, I wish I had said I love you to this person. And so you mm-hmm. tell people, always say I love you to your wife, to your kids, because you don't know if you're going to see them again. And I wish I had gotten to tell my stepmother how much I hated her before she died.
Yes. Yeah.
Because people could die, and they don't know how much you ruin their life. You should always tell them while they're alive.
Thank you, Tracy. Mom,
tell me you hate them.
I would like to take this opportunity to tell you how much I love you. And I'm dead serious. You've always taken care of me. You tried to protect me from that very bad man. And when you die and save me a lot of money, I'll be sad.
Well, if I save you too much, I'll see if I can arrange to make a return trip.
All right, but look, at least young Betty took care of young Danny.
Yeah, right. She never turned her back on me, not one second.
And
took some heat.
Drove Danny to auditions and got some headshots made up and made some money. And you could, or one could argue, that the reason you're here is because of her. When I give my deadbeat parents money, it's just because.
Right.
At least, she's like, I mean, I don't, you know, I give my agent 10% of the money I make. I happily give it to him because he makes me money. I'm all fine with the vig. This is just a little payback on an old debt, right, Betty?
Mom,
yeah.
Do you remember the one tip Dad gave me about acting when I went to go out and there were 300 or 400 people in our front yard with signs, and he said, "Remember, acting is below something."
No, I don't remember that.
As I was walking up, this is the only advice my dad ever gave me. Remember, son, acting is one step below pimping. And they're pushing me out the door.
Betty, there must have not been that many other women writing back in the day.
There weren't a whole lot of them. But then again, nobody knew I was writing.
Yeah,
either.
Who knew? So maybe all these guys had, maybe Maury Amsterdam had a wife and whatever.
I had a television show before I got married.
Yeah, she had her own show.
I wrote the first show that ever came out of Philadelphia television.
Really? So, wow, interesting.
Yeah. Ask him, tell him who your dad gave his very first job.
Oh, Dick Clark.
Yeah, it was his very first job, the Dick Clark.
Oh, your dad was an executive in radio
and program
television?
Director.
Yeah, he was a program director at WFIL in Philadelphia.
Wow. You guys are like the Barrymores.
Yeah.
Except with no money and no class.
Yeah,
can I make a thing
Rusty
right here?
Rusty Barrymore.
Since I've said this, my MySpace is Bonaducci318. If you would like my mom to come and sing in your bar and it's not too far, it's either $100 for the night, or she gets to bring three guests and you comp their drinks. I'd go for the $100 if you want to save some money.
I would love to go see Betty Bonaducci.
She rocks
serious.
The house, dude.
Well, Betty, give
I'm
us
not a, kidding.
2 hours, and I'm not over the sleeping thing yet.
She's a vampire.
Well, I get tired of not being able to sleep because it's rather boring.
Yeah.
Right.
But I went and had it checked, and their decision was, you don't need much sleep.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
I figure they're right.
Hey, Betty, thank you for being awake
letting
us talk to you.
Thank you for being my mom. Seriously, you know
pleasure.
What? I did. Teresa reminded me, really, thank you so much. I would have done, you know, the world needs gas station attendants too, but thank mm-hmm. you so much for you know, this is a great career, and it ended up radio instead of TV and all that, but none of it would have happened without you, and there might have been more permanent marks and bruises, and I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're the best woman I've ever known, and I love you.
My birthday is Friday.
Oh, damn it!
83 years young.
I'm out of town.
Bye.
Good times, bye, Betty Bonaducci.
I love you, and I'm going to get you some good paying gigs, Ma.
Why don't you call me Betty?
Aaron is
my mother,
one.
You freak.
Aaron?
Yes.
What have you to say?
Hey, good morning. I was just calling because I go to school with, during the summer, Danny's older brother John and I are in master's
spooky.
Program together.
Hmm. And, creepy genius.
Now, this is not the brother who's in Mexico.
No, that's Anthony.
This is another brother.
This is a professor at Notre Dame.
Oh, the in
high school
in,
here.
Oh, okay. I was in Indiana.
I know. I was trying to be cool.
Hey, hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Is he a good guy? Is he anything like Danny?
He's a great guy. What I mean. Nothing like Danny.
You have no idea. He actually puts me to shame and was able to contain it.
Thanks, Aaron.
He is.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, and he and I just have to say that I don't know how it was for him growing up, but these guys he speaks well of his brother all the time, and so while you guys are on the kick of telling people how much you love him, I think John would probably chime right in on that, and he's just a great guy, and I can't believe he's changed careers after many, many years and is now teaching music and does a great job. I know his students love him, and everybody in our program loves him, and I love the show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Sarah.
You guys every morning.
Well,
thank you
know,
so much.
When you're smart, you get a little lateral mobility. You get to decide, I'm tired of being a lawyer. I think I'll be a dentist for a while.
He was 40 when he changed his mind. Said, I think I'll be a teacher.
That's what you do when you're smart, and when you're dumb, you get a job sorting mail, and you hang on to it with both hands right into the grave. Hey, Andy?
Good morning.
You're a divorce attorney?
Yeah, good morning, Danny. Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was listening to you last week and just took a few notes. Now, according to you guys, in Hollywood years, Teresa has now been married for 6.
Right. Yes.
Right, since my fake wedding on Friday.
Right.
Indeed, yeah. And I'm just sorry that I rang in on Friday, but I had to leave you guys. But I had a prenup all written up for you, ready to go, and I couldn't get it to you. I was wondering whether things are going okay or you need a hand.
So far, so good.
Can I ask about the prenup?
Yeah, I'm curious, too.
I have a lot of questions.
I'll marry anybody if I have a prenup. I'll marry him for the evening.
Well, what about the fact that a few years ago people would say, oh, that prenup's not going to hold up?
Well, you know you were talking about your agent the other day. Mm-hmm. Basically, I love prenups. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're like my agent because mm-hmm. I write them and I make sure that they're really watertight, but they're going to need me.
But now, what if a prenup was unreasonable? What if you wrote up a prenup that said, if I get divorced, my wife gets 50 cents every month, and she signed it, and her attorney was present when she signed it? It wouldn't hold up, would it?
Well, yes and no. You know, prenups are absolutely crazy, because the only people that win are people like myself, because I've just been doing a prenup, which is basically where it was the wife had decided to have nothing. It was in Hollywood. She said, I'm marrying you for everything. She had a cheap lawyer who basically said, yeah, don't worry. He wants a prenup, but just sign it so that you can get married, because if things don't work, you'll still get something. She is going to walk away. This girl has nothing. She is going to walk away with more than maybe $2-3 million. And this is with a prenup.
This is with the prenup.
Here's the deal on the prenup.
So you're saying the prenup isn't worth what it's...
It is, but it's reasonable.
Well, it is if you speak to my accountant, but not you guys. If
no, well, what I mean is he had a prenup that said you'll get nothing and she's going to get $3 million.
That's not the way it works.
I know, but is that what you're saying, Andy?
Yeah, but it's not from the prenup. She's gone and claimed that she had to work real hard in the 8 months that they've been married. He took 8 months of her life away.
But in the prenup, wouldn't it say you're giving me 8 months of your life for nothing? Well, isn't that fair? It's in writing.
Oh, it doesn't matter whether it's in writing
or
not.
That's what I'm saying. I went to give Gretchen, I got tired of this, and I wrote a letter and had it notarized under her lawyer, my lawyer. Mm-hmm. It said, I would like 5 pair of my favorite jeans, all my boots, and 5 shirts. You may have everything else, which with the house totals millions.
Mm-hmm.
And my lawyer said, I quit. Because I will not represent a wealthy man and come out with a poor client. Her lawyer said, a judge will never accept this. This has to be reasonably fair. A judge will not leave your husband penniless. They have to be reasonable.
But that's a post-nup that you wrote on a Starbucks napkin.
No.
This is a pre-nup.
If I write a thing for Amy that says, we get married 10 years from now, we break up, she gets nothing, no judge will say that's fair. He won't pass it. He won't accept it.
I know. So the prenup has to be reasonable.
Right.
Is that a fair assessment, Andy?
Yeah. If you have to prove, like, sort of reasonable causes for why you're doing it. Like, let's say that Adam decided to get married now. He could protect his children. He can protect certain people in his family so that they will inherit money.
What about little stipulations for sex and how often Daniel gets sex? How much TiVo I get to watch, things like that. Are there weird little stipulations you've put into some of these prenups?
I just make sure I book the judge when all the lady judges are on holiday. Because I know a few men judges that would just be like, yeah, that's fine, thanks very much, and they want to go to their coffee break.
Uh-huh. So, now, as far as the prenup goes, her lawyer needs to review it, and then she signs it. Or she can just sign it. Do you want her lawyer to look at it first?
Has to.
Yeah. You want a lawyer, and you want the lawyer to be from fresh out of school. And
right. No, but if, because it's not going to be worth it if she just signs it without a lawyer present, because later on when they get divorced, her now lawyer will say, well, she didn't even have a lawyer. But what if she doesn't have a lawyer? And what if she says, I'll just sign it? Do you get her a lawyer?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And you also make sure they're not on antidepressants. Goodness me, I'm going through a horrible one.
That's why I went
on antidepressants.
Right, someone can just say I was altered.
Not a sound.
Here's what you want to do. Adam, you're my attorney.
Thanks, Andy, by the way.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. By the way, Gail Cohen is my lawyer, and unlike my last lawyer who was a client, she's not a client, she's just a lawyer, and I'm paying a fair amount of dough. But if you want to give her some dough, maybe she'll help me out. Anyway, Gail Cohen is my lawyer. So Adam is my lawyer. You are my wife, okay, Teresa?
Okay.
I've signed a prenup. My great lawyer, Adam Carolla, makes it watertight. And I say, here it is. I want you to read it backwards and forwards. You understand it completely. You initial every line. Then you sign it. Then it's useless. She has to have her lawyer read it.
Right. Yeah. And it can't be on antidepressants.
Right.
Well, then you're in a little bit of trouble for me.
All right. We're going to take ourselves break. Enlightening. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll do a little Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Yeah.
That's right.
I couldn't be more ready.
You have dilemmas. Danny is on his feet. He's had himself a couple of rock stars, and he's raring to go. Been to the gym, ready to go. 866-901-ADAM, Angel Adam, Devil Danny. Give us your dilemmas. We'll solve them next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Do you have a moral issue that you could go either way on? But you need a little more advice, right? Talk to Angel Adam and Devil Danny.
I do construction, and Boss Man smokes a whole bunch of weed.
I call it getting the man help. He could hurt himself on the construction site, or worse, hurt others.
You don't report him. You've met him. Injured you.
Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, that's right. Angel Adam, Devil Danny, 866-901-ADAM.
If you have a moral dilemma, and it's moral, okay? Don't ask us how to fix your car. Adam knows that. Don't ask me how to do this because, well, I don't know. If you have a moral dilemma involving your family, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, stealing, those are the things you need an angel to tell you what is the right thing to do, and a devil to tell you the practical thing to do to leave with profit.
Practical.
Our phone numbers are 1-866-901-ADAM. So get that out there. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling good today.
Well, let's do it.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
Xavier?
Yes, sir.
I like that name.
Yeah. Now, do you do the Xavier or do you do the Xavier?
It's Xavier.
Mm-hmm. But xylophone starts with a X, right? Or is that a Z? Yeah. That's an X, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you won't do X xylophone. You just do xylophone. Or Xerox starts with an X, but you don't go X Xerox. You just go Xerox.
So it should be Xavier.
Should be Xavier.
Whatever makes you happy.
All right, I can tell he's done with that.
All right, what
he's
is
been through that?
What's the real problem, Xavier? Xavier.
My problem is that I've gone, let's say, years and years of being the bigger man, and kind of swallowing my pride with this piece of junk guy that my girlfriend, her ex, she's got two kids from this guy, and I wanted to be the bigger man and not whoop him. You know, because the last five times I confronted him, he's pulled a knife out. This guy's 6'1". I'm 5'6".
And he's pulled a knife out on you.
Really?
He
pulled a knife out on me 5 times. The last time I called him out because I'm just sick of it. You know, what he does is he constantly harasses her. He constantly makes her life uncomfortable because misery loves company.
Okay, and, can I ask something real quick? I don't care if he has a bazooka. Is your question, should you beat up your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, right?
Well, I have experience in MMA, and you know, I know what I can do, and I know what I can't do.
And I know
that's my question. Should I just ask?
Well, first off, all you really need to know is what you can do, and the can't do will solve itself by virtue of the fact. Okay, well, anyway, I was just doing some math for you. But you say you've confronted the guy 5 times, and he's pulled a knife 5 times?
5 times.
So you haven't exactly been swallowing your tongue and sitting on your hands. You've confronted the guy. He's brandished a knife 5 times.
Yeah, I've gone as far as to, you know, roll him up and back him into a corner.
All right. Xavier, what do you do for a living?
I'm a mechanic.
Okay. Well, let's begin before this trolley goes off the rails. Xavier, you confronting tall guys with knives is no example to set for your stepchildren. Even if they're not the biological children, you're the man of the house now. You need to set the example. You don't want...
We don't live together, but I help her with the children when I can, you know.
You don't live with your girlfriend or your wife?
No, I don't. She's not my wife. We've never been married.
Uh-huh.
But I've known her for 20 years.
Hey, I'm the devil. I mean, I'm 20, the angel, and I don't care.
20 years?
Yeah, she was like my first girlfriend in high school.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Oh.
I don't understand something. You guys have been together on and off for like 20 years.
More off than on.
She has a couple of kids. You don't sound like you're ready to commit to this thing. You're not living together. Now, how old are you, Xavier?
I'm 34.
Oh, old enough to be married and start your own family.
Yeah, but I'm not getting married.
All right, but why are you hanging around with this one? I mean, ass or get off the pot. If you want to get married to her and become stepdaddy and start raising kids and starting a family of your own, that's fine. If not, get the hell out. But you're just confusing things and potentially getting yourself stabbed.
Well, you know, he doesn't have the balls to use that
damn right
in the first place.
But what are you doing? I mean, what's up with you? You've liked this chick since high school. Then you watched her get married and have some kids. Now you're being threatened by her ex.
She's never been married either. We're on the same level as the marriage thing.
Yeah, you're both retarded. Here's the thing, Xavier. Please listen to me because I'm 100 times smarter than you. Now, as I've said many times, you don't have to be smart. You just have to be smart enough to listen to people that are smarter than you.
Okay.
That's all it is.
That's going to happen twice in the next 5 minutes.
I don't have to be smart enough to build a computer. I just have to be smart enough to buy a computer, and then I buy all the knowledge of the smart guys who built the computer.
Okay.
All right, Xavier. This is a bust. This is get out. If this was going to happen, it would have happened 100 years ago. Clean, fresh sheet. You understand? She's got kids. She's got baggage. She's got issues. She's got an old man who's going to stab you. She is chaotic. I don't need to know her. I just know she's a mess. Now get out. Clean, fresh sheet of paper. I'm talking about some 27-year-old nursing student who doesn't have a bunch of baggage and a bunch of kids. All right, then I'm going to play Devil Danny Angel Adam. I have nothing. This guy.
I like him.
Well, I know what you would say, and I know what I'm supposed to say, but I just can't go along with it with this guy. His life is wasting in front of his eyes.
That's where you're the devil. You scoff at his wasted life.
Wait a minute, you're the devil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're the angel. You have to love him for his wasted life.
All right, now let's really play the game. Here we go.
I was just going to say for one thing, though.
Go ahead.
You know where you said you haven't been just, you know, swallowing your tongue and sitting on your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Swallow this bastard's tongue and sit on his face. Put an end to this. You know why you do this? Because you like it. You're into it. He breaks out the knife. You don't back up. You're all badass. You like this. Now, if we had the time, I would tell you how to fix this bastard's wagon and not be within 500 miles. But we will move on. But this is eminently fixable.
Ultimately, who's the idiot? You know what I mean? When you're dancing with retards your whole life, when you're in and out of chaos, when somebody just brings a whole rucksack of chaos with them wherever they go and everywhere they go, they open it up and then you get involved with it and then you start dancing with it. And next thing you know, 20 years goes by and you've been chasing the same chaos around the same room. I know that's the way a lot of people feel they're alive, but for Christ's sake, people, shake the Etch-a-Sketch. Start fresh.
Some of us just like to dance.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break, and then Angel Adam Devil Danny 866-901 Adam. We got some good calls.
I just got caught
up with Xavier. I guess when you spend 20 minutes on how to pronounce a guy's name, it means you're off to a slow start. Quick break. Back with Angel Adam Devil Danny next.
Today's another Music Monday, and we'll play you some songs that'll start the party and others that'll make your guests run for the door. From the Kids in the Hall, Bruce McCullough.
What are you then, some sort of prick?
Little recap of Teresa's rehearsal wedding. The Oakland Raiders' Kirk Morrison.
The interception by Morrison, and the Raiders say touche.
And our favorite, Oswaldo.
Okay, it's on the music.
To reach us live, call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, everybody, we're back. Now we got caught up with Xavier, who got caught up with the wrong woman. But now we're doing it right. Devil, Danny, Angel, Adam, here we go.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
All right, we'll stay on track this time. Chris?
Yeah?
What's the dilemma?
The drug habit that's reoccurring. It's been reoccurring for about 2 months now, and went through probably around $7,000, and just keep making excuses. And my girlfriend about, had to pay this, had to pay that, something went wrong with the car. I think she's kind of, maybe catching on a little bit.
I'm guessing you're talking about cocaine.
That's correct.
How much do you make an hour?
I make between $32.50 and $35 an hour.
Right. And that's a decent paycheck, but you could easily go up your nose, in an evening. How much is coke a gram these days?
$40.
A gram?
Mm-hmm.
I get a 16th for 160.
Okay.
So a gram is $100.
$100?
No, it's not. You get an 8-ball for 150. You get a full gram for... You're paying 160. You're paying full $100 for a gram. What year do you think it is? 82?
No. It's pretty good stuff, man.
Give a rat's ass. It's $40 to $60 a gram.
Now we have a double dilemma.
No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding
you. Well, okay, I don't care. That's not your problem.
All right.
I don't take drugs anymore. I just know where they are.
You're still paying too much for coke, yeah. Which is why Danny's upset. But, look, how old are you, Chris?
36.
Not a kid anymore. Now, look, you're at a crossroads, my young child. You're at the beginning, the threshold of addiction, but you've not slid into the free fall known as addiction. Right now, you're at where a lot of people are at before the free fall begins. Lying to the girlfriend, having a little trouble at work, maybe having trouble with friends and family, but you're not in the full throes of addiction, not yet. Thank goodness you picked up the phone. Thank God you called me. Now, you think you can beat this on your own. You can't.
So, I did it before.
You did it before.
No, you didn't.
And it worked like a charm, didn't it?
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Not really.
All right. You just answered your own question. You think you want to get something for free. You think you're going to give this up without talking to somebody, without seeking professional help, without getting into a 12-step program. My friend, you would be mistaken. Now, everybody wants to give everything up and not pay the piper. That's great, but it doesn't work that way. There's no such thing as a diet where you get to just keep eating whatever you want and doing whatever you're doing. That diet doesn't exist, my friend. You are going to have to get on the treadmill of life and start eating the tofu of life instead of sucking up the cane sugar right up your left nostri. That's right. It's the right one. So, speaking of the right, let's do the right thing for a change and get some help before this spins into full-blown addiction. Danny?
All right. Hi, Chris. How you doing, buddy? aside from the fact that you spend way too much for blow, is your wife a big woman?
Girlfriend.
Is your girlfriend fat?
No, she's not.
No, she's not. Do you have any kids?
Yes, I do.
How about they? Are they fat?
No, they're not.
Okay, the number one problem, well, the number top three problem is obesity in America. Number one, diet drug, a big bag of blow.
Really?
You're doing America a service. Don't lie to your wife and children about the cocaine. Get them addicted. Get your wife and kids on the coke as fast as possible. Your wife will shed the pounds. Your kids are going to make Pop Warner. They're going to run it in a 4-2. They're going to fly out. They're going to put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And then their lips will go numb and you won't really understand what they're saying. But they'll get straight A's because they read it 1,000 miles an hour.
All right, Chris, please take care of yourself. That, well, you know, I was actually thinking about it. I thought that's, you know, there's two pieces of advice you can give to someone, and both are effective. Either knock it off, which sometimes work, or you're not doing enough. Get the whole family strung out on it. Either way, it sends the same message. Joseph?
Hi, Denny and Adam. How you doing?
What's your dilemma?
Well, in about a month and a half or so, I'm going to get married, and my fiance started a new job, and she has no time for sex, and she's always working on her work.
So when you get married, will she take your name and become Mrs. Personality?
Pretty much.
Oh, come on. It's Joseph's a little nervous.
All right.
Also, I have a bachelor party in about a couple weeks. My friends are dragging me to Vegas for 3 days.
It's so good to present it as you being dragged somewhere.
Wait, hold on. He hasn't had sex in 2 months because she's busy. Adam, I smell a rat.
Well, let me say this first. The dragged is good. You just have to keep it going with the bachelor party. I got dragged to Vegas, and then he dragged me to a strip club, and then he dragged my penis out, and he stuffed it in somebody's mouth, and then he dragged the semen from it.
Yeah.
When the dredge goes this so long.
Oh, man, that Ronnie's a bastard. He's constantly,
I hate him.
He's constantly dragging semen from my penis. He's dragging a syringe into my arm. He's dragging a rolled-up dollar bill into my nose. He's dragging me into the arms of other women.
Drag the money onto the blackjack table.
Drag me out to the one-armed bandits.
All right, drag the money to the drag queens. He's going the whole gamut.
Then the cop dragged us both into the huskow. Hey, Joseph, sorry. Now, you haven't had sex in 2 months, yet you're getting married. What do you think the problem is?
What's the dilemma? What is your moral question that the angel can answer for you?
Well, I mean, I just see other people interested in me. And I just never have, she never has time for me, and I don't know if it's just going to be a continual thing.
You want to know if you should get married?
Yeah, because
okay.
I mean, this is the one person I'm going to be sleeping with.
Fair question. How old are you?
30.
30.
What does this woman do?
She's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that out at 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what it is when you first start, you're creating lesson plans.
My girlfriend's a school teacher, and I can't stop her. When we're done boning, she breaks out machinery.
Yeah.
Right,
your mom's still listening.
A new teacher has to create lesson plans.
Make excuses.
My mom has machinery. Give me a hard time.
It's her first year, so she's also doing credentials.
All right, Joseph, let me get started on
you. Angel.
Marriage, the holiest of bonds. A very important undertaking not to be taken lightly.
Uh-oh.
You should get married, but you shouldn't get married under these circumstances. They have counseling. They have counselors. They have folks that can offer you guidance, perhaps within your own church. What is your faith, Joseph?
I have no faith. I'm an atheist.
Well, I'll see you in hell.
Yeah, actually, you will.
Well, then you go to the atheist preacher that is called a therapist.
Yep.
That's who we worship at the altar of. We worship on a sofa, paying our priest $95 every 50 minutes to pretend he cares. So, Joseph, I need you to get some pre-counseling therapy. Now, you say you can't afford it. I say you can't not afford to afford it.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is invest a couple $100, get this thing sorted out, and then get married. You don't want to get married, and in terms of affording it, you don't think you can afford it on your salary and her salary. How much does a divorce cost, Danny?
A lot.
In my case, around $3 million.
By the way, yes. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, here's my question. She's a school teacher. She's not making much dough. Do you make around the same amount of dough?
No, I make a little bit more.
A little bit more, but not enough for her to take it to the cleaner, right?
Yeah.
All right, you marry her. That way there's a woman in the house doing what you need a woman to do. Company, it beats the heck out of a Labrador. So you go ahead and you marry this woman. She can't take you to the bank. You have no moral quandaries. You're an atheist. You say that there are people interested in you. You sleep with them. You have a wife at home who is a school teacher, a pillar of the community, yet you get to bone all these chicks that are showing all this interest in you, and it doesn't cost you a dime. What kind of man are you? Marry the school teacher, sleep with the lessons.
Nice. All right, one more. We'll speak to Justin. Justin?
Hey, what's up?
The dilemma, my friend?
All right, here's the story. I've got a girl who I adore, who I think super highly of.
Troublesome.
And, you know, the whole wholesome girl kind of take home to mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yet, there's just kind of not that spice there, but it's the kind of girl you should marry.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great wife, a good mom, the whole nine.
Right.
And there's a little spice, don't get me wrong, but it's just not what I've had before. So you kind of have that wandering eye thinking, you know. So I would go into my attorney's office last week, and his secretary is just a knockout. Not a 10, but like a solid 9.
There are no 10s.
And, yes, exactly. So I'm sitting there in this meeting.
What month is this? What's going on? So you want to know whether to sleep with the secretary?
Well, the thing is, I went to lunch with her, and then when we got back to the office, I dropped her off, and she said she wanted to kiss me, and I'm like, ooh, I can't go there. I haven't before. Don't want to.
Wait, how long? You have a girlfriend now, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking about marriage.
Well, I would not quite, but almost.
How old are you?
30.
Okay. And how long have you been with the girlfriend?
Just about a year. It'll be a year in, in about a month.
All right. Well, let me explain something to all who are listening. There's always going to be a beautiful secretary in every office you walk into. There's always going to be a beautiful mystery woman who's sitting across from you on the, in your case, the BART. Justin calling from San Francisco. There's not going to be a time that you get on an airplane that you don't lock eyes with some mysterious, beautiful woman who's sitting a few aisles behind you or in front of you. That's always going to exist. It doesn't matter if you marry the woman you lock eyes with from across the aisle, or if you marry her sister, or if you marry every single woman you lock eyes with, the mysterious beauty. They'll always be out there. That's why you're wired the way you are. I mean, you can't erase that. It doesn't matter who you marry. You marry the secretary and you guys have hot animal, horny monkey sex every night of the week. You will still see somebody the next day when you walk out of the house. So it's not about are you with the right person or should you marry that person. It's how to shut the switch off in your brain. Now, you can't turn off your eyeballs. You can just shut the penis off. Basically, the eyeballs are going to constantly work. You just need to break the connection between the eyeballs and the penis and the legs. You see, the eyeballs see something they like, and they communicate with the legs. They say, hey, legs, what's that? They say, you know that penis that's on your head? And then the legs get confused. Penis is on your head? No, on your head. That's right. Yeah, what about it? I need you to start walking toward there because I need to move my penis closer to that secretary's vagina. So get moving, legs. Now, your legs will go along with it because your penis will be behind them, whipping the legs. Mark Snell! It'll be yelling like on a chariot, like Chuck Heston on a chariot. Go, my friends! Dance! Dance! And it'll start whipping them till he pulls them toward it. The eyeballs are always going to be the eyeballs. That is like a camera that never gets unplugged. As long as there's light and images passing through it, it will continue to process those. You need to cut the switch off somewhere around your waist, something that tells the legs to propel the penis toward the secretary. It's not easy. Unfortunately, most guys look at that as death. I look at it as rebirth. Powerful. Danny?
My God, this is almost too easy to deal with. The question, as I read it, says, should I have sex with lawyers?
now secretary.
It says, well, my lawyer's secretary. Okay, good, because I was getting confused for a moment. The answer is, of course, you should. Obviously, the answer with me is always going to be, of course, you should. Lawyers spend their day screwing everyone. Mm-hmm. It's about time somebody stepped up to the plate and returned the favor. Is this my idea? No. Let's go back, 600 years, maybe four, and say, kill all the lawyers. First thing, kill all the lawyers. Little Shakespeare for ya. This isn't just coming off the tip of my tongue. First thing is, kill all the lawyers. Second thing is, bone their secretaries. Get even for the little man.
Mmm. And by little man, you mean... All right, Justin.
That's some good sage advice. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Out there and do something in between those two extremes. All righty. There you go. Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Angel Adam.
Give the devil his due.
Devil Danny.
First of all, I think God hates you.
Hold on.
I am not done giving advice yet.
T.
Yeah?
Better late than never. What's coming up in the news?
Well, Paris Hilton went on David Letterman. You may have seen or heard it. She just wanted to talk about this.
I'm here for my clothing line and my movie and my perfume. I'm not here to talk about that.
But David Letterman would not let go, and it became very awkward.
Yeah. He's getting a little bit of that. I'm getting old, so F everyone.
Yeah, it's great.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Not getting enough sleep could kill you.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but it's T's turn to shine. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
If you caught Diane Sawyer's interview with first daughter Jenna Bush on 2020 Friday night, you were probably surprised to see how poised she seemed. She's a far cry from the underage college drinker that everybody enjoyed making fun of. Diane Sawyer asked her which other White House child that she emulated, and here's what she had to say.
Her dad?
I think Chelsea Clinton is very kind and smart and articulate. You know, and she's always been very friendly to us, but she's beautiful and poised all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sweet of Jenna.
Beautiful in a homely way, but yes. Sure.
She's 25 now. She's recently engaged, and she says that her drinking days are far behind, and she also says that they weren't over-drinking and they weren't binge-drinking. They were just being sophomores in college that were under a lot of scrutiny.
Don't mess with Texas.
I believe that's true.
Who doesn't do some binge-drinking in college? Look, let me explain something.
I just go to colleges now at 48.
And binge-drink.
And binge, so I can say, well, I used to binge-drink in college.
But booze doesn't taste good for about the first 10 years of your relationship with booze. You only drink to get effed up. Right. At a certain point, you figure out what wine you like, what vintage you like, what beers you like. It takes 10 years to figure that out. Then you start making your drinks that you start enjoying as you get out of the yummy phase we always discuss in life. But at first, you drink so you can get effed up. So any drinking is binge drinking. When you're forcing Mickey's Big Mouth down your gullet at some park, it's to get effed up, not because you enjoy a libation after a hard day in the ninth grade.
And you're aware that I've always hated the taste of alcohol. Never learned to like it, never learned to appreciate it ever in my whole life.
Yes.
Only binge drank to get drunk.
Why God
hate alcohol.
Invented wine coolers and daiquiris.
Yeah.
No. I chug a half a bottle of vodka in one sip because I can't stand it. And then I can set it down and get progressively more drunk for the next 2 hours without having to drink again.
Right.
I hate alcohol.
Shrewd.
It just makes me tall and I can dance.
Paris Hilton went on David Letterman.
Sing, but right. Go ahead.
Yes. That's about 9 drinks in before I'm singing.
Paris Hilton went on David Letterman on Friday night. And things got ugly. It looked like it was going to be a normal interview for about the first 15 seconds.
Yeah, good to have you. How much time do you spend in New York City? A lot?
Not as often as I'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which do you prefer, New York City or Los Angeles?
I like both. I like the weather in L.A. better, mm-hmm. but I love New York City.
New York City is exciting, though, isn't it?
I was born here, yeah.
Yeah, good for you. How'd you like being in jail?
Now, Despite her growing annoyance, David Letterman could not stop asking her about her prison time.
Have your friends treated you differently since you've been out of the slammer?
People think that I was really strong, that I went through it, so.
God, it was just ugly, wasn't it? Have you made
But I've moved on with my life, so I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
I know. See, now, this is where you and I are different, because this is all I want to talk about.
Then there's a moment when you think, okay, Paris Hilton has been saved because a fan from the audience yells, I love you.
I love you, Paris!
Love you, too.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody you met in prison? Because you know what happened? The week that you were supposed to be on the show, you had to go away. So now I haven't seen you since.
I know, but now you're making me sad that I came because you're hurting
my feelings. Please don't be sad. Are you really sad? No. Are you feeling better now?
Well, here's what's going on. He's old, as we learned last week.
Right.
He makes $40 million a year. And by the way, when you hear Letterman interviewing someone on their show and they say they went to some resort for their vacation and Letterman says, too rich for my blood, and does all that crap, $40 million. I'm sure he could swing a flight to Mexico.
Yep.
He doesn't like her. He doesn't respect her. He realizes she's only there because she's infamous, not because she's famous. And he doesn't care. He's getting old. He's had a heart attack that would have killed most men. And he's got $40 million worth of FU money coursing through his old, close to being dead veins. So he doesn't give a rat's ass. And as we've discussed, not everybody is the star on a talk show. There are plenty of guests that Letterman has that he knows he's a bigger celebrity than they are. That's how it works.
He's exactly right.
Right.
When your guest does not have the same cachet as you, you're still the star. You don't really have a guest. You have a sidekick for 8 minutes.
Right. Now, when your Letterman and Oprah comes on your show, then you have to treat her with some sort of reverence because she's a bigger star than you. But when you're Letterman and you got some guy from some home improvement show on deep cable who's filling in because somebody you wanted better came out and couldn't make his flight, then you don't treat that guy like he's a celebrity. You just hopefully treat him with respect. All right, good. Well, by the way, I've always talked about, like, Monica Lewinsky wants to come on the show, but she doesn't want to talk about her and the president. She wants to talk about her new line of handbags.
Pardon the pun, then eat me.
Right?
Yeah.
What else do you have to do? Unless she has diet tips that work.
Don't
wear a beret.
Everybody has an agenda. I'm sure Paris Hilton wants to come on his show and talk about her new perfume and her new handbag line. The problem is she's not famous for that.
Right.
She's famous for filming herself having sex and going to prison. And you have to discuss that because it's a 800-pound elephant in the room if you don't discuss anything with Monica Lewinsky about the president. If you just sit there and talk about her new line of bags coming out, it is the silence will be deafening. Sorry, T.
No problem. Paris Hilton had a sex tape. So do a lot of other celebrities, including Dustin Screech Diamond, Tanya Harding, Colin Farrell. Now, those three all involved, the sale of those three sex tapes, all involved a man named David Hans Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
He is no longer alive. We'll get to that in a moment.
Damn it.
He also was involved in the sale or attempted sale of nude pictures of Paula Jones, Jamie Foxx, and former Iraq War POW Jessica Lynch. He has killed himself.
That's nice.
According to the National Enquirer, the 47-year-old hung himself in a shower stall in his Phoenix, Arizona home. He was under house arrest there and he was planning to plead guilty to an extortion charge. He extorted Tom Cruise.
Bad call.
Basically, after 2 years in prison, what happened was he was accused of approaching Cruise with stolen pictures from his wedding to Katie Holmes and asking him for $1 million to keep them off the market.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise worked with law enforcement. And they got the guy, and I guess he was in so much legal trouble that he became suicidal. That's what the Daily News is reporting in
New
York.
Adios, jackass.
Yep.
See you in hell. I have no problem with that. And I don't know why, but I find guys like this more despicable than your average sort of garden variety criminals.
Yeah, me too. What's his name that you really hate?
most.
There's
only 3 hours left in the show.
The plane and the,
Joe Francis? Oh, I don't really hate Joe Francis, although I kind of hate. I'll tell you why I hate Joe Francis. I hate Joe Francis for his death videos more than his Girls Gone Wild videos.
He did Faces of Death?
He did the videos of the people getting cleaned out by the commuter trains and eaten by alligators.
Oh, right.
That I used to see on late night TV. As a matter of fact, I knew Joe Francis long before the Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild Joe Francis came to fame. I used to see these commercials, and what happened, and I'll make this quick, somebody got hold of the tape of a woman running across some rail lines in a commuter train, eviscerating her, essentially, just turning her into a pink mist. And he got hold of the tape and other tapes of people dying and decided to make a compilation tape and sell them to I don't know who, but I feel sorry for the people who decide it's a good idea to buy this stuff and do not trust them at all. They should not have kids, and they should not be let out into society, but that's not my choice. He got hold of this tape. Now, not from the family of the woman who was cleaned out by the commuter train. And in the commercial, it's the first thing that pops up.
Yep, so they don't get a chance in channel.
No, so I picture the family, and this woman left behind kids and a husband and a mother and whoever you leave behind when you die at a relatively young age. Watching late night TV, all of a sudden it goes from Letterman making fun of Paris Hilton to pow, that's my mom getting cleaned out by the commuter train. I just find that despicable. I understand, I don't endorse or condone, but I understand the kind of crime where the kid grows up in the inner city and his dad takes off and his mom beats the crap out of him and he's in and out of trouble with the law and gangs and then he robs a liquor store because he's trying to get a fix of drugs. That I understand. The extortion part, the sort of despicable, I'll hide in the bushes, I'll take a picture of you, your naked ass, getting out of the tub, and then I'll try to sell it back to you. That's just, that's vermin to me. That's despicable. That's, I have intelligence. I am a resourceful person.
Right.
I just choose to use it for evil.
No, of course you. That's my Adam.
This
That's
guy probably could have been a great publicist, for instance.
Right.
He has all the qualities, the publicist, that would get him to excel.
A realtor,
a publicist, an attorney. Could have been any one of those things. He decided to try to get money from people that worked hard at it, and I'm glad he's dead.
Couple of guys in Chinatown.
Fair enough, man.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Couple of guys in Chinatown were trying to get some money. They were running a ping pong center. Yeah. But it's not a very profitable business. So at the RoboPong Training Center in Chinatown in New York City, they thought, how are we going to make our rent? We have to offer another kind of service. So they decided to turn it into a ping pong hall slash brothel. But to get their business going, they thought, wait, there's a high school right across the street.
Sure.
What a great customer base.
Mm-hmm.
So they started to pass out business cards to teenage boys who go to Pace High School right across the street from the brothel.
Now, is this Chinatown here or Chinatown, New York?
Chinatown, New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, this might have seemed like a great customer base if it weren't illegal,
mm-hmm.
possibly unethical. Now, the business cards had a picture of a topless woman and the word good with the contact info of the brothel slash ping pong hall.
Uh-huh.
And the hours of operation. With rulers and pencils, you know, in the graphic.
Yes.
And
you
go
to certain places in Asia and they combine the hookers and ping pong balls.
Right.
It's a long tradition.
Well, Ivar Street.
All right. Oh, how about really? Ivar Street? Right.
Not that I know, but she knocked a tin cup off my head.
With a ping pong ball?
With an egg.
Oh, no. What? Wow. Well, in this case, the students were offered a student discount.
Of course they were.
$35 to $60 for sex, depending on the services. The cops found out about the brothel after some of the Pace students told their parents what was going on. The vice cops ran a sting posing as students. They were offered the student discount on sexual services, and they shut down the brothel. The two owners were arrested. They'll all be in court in January.
Well, the good news is the jails always have a ping pong table, and these guys are going to clean up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ping pong is one of those games where if you had one in your basement growing up, you're an expert and you will beat anyone at the party. And if you didn't, well, then there's no way you'll ever be as good as the kid who grew up with it.
It's too late to learn.
Although I can't learn to play pool. I've had a pool table for over 10 years and I've never won a game on it.
I don't mind a little straight ping pong, but it's when the guys start putting the English on the ball.
Yeah.
It's, oh, give me a break.
Shut up. And hitting the ball from 8 feet away from the table.
To me, it's the slicing spin. Yeah. Like, I feel this.
Just die.
Ping pong and bowling are exactly the same. Here's the rules. If you're doing the thing where you're bowling from the next alley and putting the spin on it, it's going over three alleys and then hitting the pocket, the sweet spot, join the effing tour. I don't want to bowl with your ass. And if you're doing the thing with the ping pong where you're doing that weird serve thing where the thing hits on my side of the net and then goes careening off to the left because you put so much topspin on it, join the effing circuit. Please, you and Forrest Gump, go out and do exhibitions somewhere. Don't get out of my basement. The rules are no English.
Right.
No slices. If you're going to bowl with the ace man, you take that rock, you take that Brunswick 16-pound high luster, and you go straight at those pins like a man. And put that, keep that brace in the car.
Do you see how close Angel Adam and Devil Danny become once that moment is over?
Right.
Take that rock, give it that bastard.
And look, you do what you can with that ping pong paddle as long as you're hitting straight. Don't give me that weird slicey crap.
I count on that because I can't. That's how I win, because I can return anything. I don't get fancy. I'm meat and potatoes, but I can return anything.
That's right. You beat me heads up. Mano y mano.
Right.
Mano y T.O.
Right.
Righto.
No.
That's, I'm T.O. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser, QCNN.
I had this weird dilemma once because I'm constantly making fun of the guys that are showing up with the shoes and the wrist brace and their own towel and the whole thing to the bowling alley. I had hand surgery and 3 days later was playing in the Kobe...
Is that what happened?
Kobe Bryant... celebrity bowling tournament. I had hand surgery probably a couple weeks later, but had the cast removed from my hand the day before the bowling tournament, my left hand, and I'm left-handed. Once they removed the cast, they put a splint on, and they said, with the Velcro strap,
looks like a thing.
It's exactly the same as a bowling thing, and they said, keep this on for the next month. I said, fine. The next day was the bowling tournament. Now, I didn't want to be the Yahoo, especially the Yahoo that got an 89 with the wrist guard, because it's like, look at Carolla over there. Wow. What would he bowl without the wristband? Into the single digits? So I didn't want to be the guy I made fun of, but I had an effed up wrist and I was bowling, but I had the stupid wrist guard and I didn't know how to tell everyone that this wasn't a bowling wristband. It's like, gosh, Carolla's committed. I saw him wearing it in the parking lot. What a blowhard.
You guys not kidding.
So I took the wrist thing off and painfully bowled with my crappy hand surgery hand because I didn't want people thinking I was a ringer and a blowhard.
Just so I am not topping because I couldn't do it, so you win.
Mm.
I broke my hand on my 40th birthday because for my 40th birthday, I wanted one professional fight. So whether winner or loss, I can look back at my kids and my grandkids and say, you know, back when I was fighting pro, I didn't care if I won. I just wanted to be able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke my third metacarpal the day of the fight. And I found a doctor who would ram it full of Novocaine right before the fight. And I'd still fight. And he'd say, you know, you're going to need major surgery after this fight if you fight with this broken hand. I said, I don't give a heck. I've been calling this guy out for months. And we couldn't get my hand in the glove. I had to back out at the last
minute. Really? Yeah.
Broke my heart, man.
Broke his hand and his heart. And quickly, for those who do all those little splints, the neoprene stuff, the little wetsuit-y stuff with the Velcro on it, please, scientists of the world, is there a way we can treat that neoprene so that it does not smell like fried ass the second it comes off? It is a weird, citrusy, vinegary, stinky tennis shoe from junior high funk Now, I don't know if it's possible, but it seems to me it could be done. There's that weird wetsuit stuff. You put the Velcro on, you walk around. I don't really have a problem. The only time I notice the funk coming from the Ace Man is the flip-flops. The neoprene flip-flops that were actually thrown out by Jimmy Kimmel after he'd had a nose full of those over in the Man Show office. Yeah. I used to wear them every day. And then this wristband, any wristband, any of that stuff, take it off. When you take it off, like, you cannot remove it in public. If you take it off, it'll be like, wow. And my wrist doesn't exactly smell. You know what I mean? It's not like, ooh, where's that funk coming from, Corolla? Is that your inner forearm? There's something about that neoprene wetsuit stuff that makes everything funkified. All I'm saying is let's hit it with some Purell or do something. It's got to be something, right? Can we do better than that?
Yeah.
All right.
I've tried them all because I've broken a lot. I've tried everything, the stuff that sticks to itself. You don't need tape if you tried that.
But it's not Velcro.
It's gauze bandage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it sticks to itself.
Right,
I've tried the Ace bandage. I've tried the braces. Nothing saves the funk.
Yes.
Bring in the funk, bring in the noise, bring in the break.
The neoprene, though, puts a couple zeros behind whatever the funk is. And I don't know why, but people, it smells like bad tennis shoes. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. People have been asking, where's Ozzy in his movie reviews? Well, he's here, and he's next. The movie's The Kingdom. We'll do that next, and then Music Monday after that.
Crazy,
ba 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 ba, crazy,
ba ba ba. No, get off of my car.
He's a Latin man.
There is no doubt.
Oz.
Yep, I'm here. He's Nicaraguan born. That's why he's brown.
I'm vice versa.
Most
of his English is mispronounced. And there's a sound he makes when he wants his wife around. His name.
I remember some friend, you know, living this parambolo in this movie.
This what?
His name's Oswaldo. He's short and hairy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my life, just in case anyone thinks I'm enjoying myself for a hot second.
I don't.
I was over at Kimmel's house, and this is why.
Oh, great.
This is why the simple life is a better life, people. I know it's easy to look around and see that guy makes more money than me and he drives a nicer car than me, but this is why keeping it simple is just a better way to go. I was over Kimmel's yesterday. Well, here's what I did over the weekend. I have two warehouses. One of them is not occupied. It's empty, except for every single person I know has dropped a car off and an old dryer and a washing machine there so it wouldn't get rusted. That's one warehouse. I pay the mortgage on the warehouse, and it houses all my friends' wares. It's the wares house of my friends.
Right.
It's where's your extra car? It's Adam's warehouse. Where's the washing machine? It's at Adam's warehouse. Where's that dresser, that chest of drawers you didn't want? It's at Adam's warehouse. That's where it is. I spent the weekend, because I've rented out the one warehouse, I spent the weekend moving everyone else's cars and goods from my warehouse to my other warehouse, because the place is rented out as of today at noon, and I need to move everyone's junked cars, which, by the way, do not run. They need to be pushed onto a trailer and dragged to my other warehouse. Now, there's an interesting part of life, which is if you have two warehouses and you let your friends keep all their junk there for years for free, when that warehouse gets leased out, the guy will look at you and go, what are we going to do with the stuff? And you go, what do you mean? And I go, how's your other warehouse looking? Have you rented that one out? And you go, no, I haven't. Oh, okay. Can you help out on Saturday? And we drag everything over there. So that's what I did over the weekend, except for Sunday. I was going to take a break. I was going to crack a beer, and I was going to enjoy Jimmy's home cooking in the football game.
Nice.
But a phone rings. There's a desperate voice on the other line. Actually, it's one of these. Hey, Ray announces. Donnie, a.k.a. The Wheeze, is at one of your warehouses, and he needs to talk now. I think, what? Fire? Burglary? What happened? Now, the other warehouse has been taken over by my buddy Donnie, who does all his mechanic work and does all his weekend work and sits over there with the air conditioning running all weekend while I pay the bills. He calls and says, we got a problem. I say, what? I go to the other room. Excuse me, gentlemen. Let me set my beer down on this holiest of days, football Sunday, and go into the other room. Donnie, what's the problem? Ozzy's over here. He's dropping off all his crap. And furthermore, you know the X-Decycle Ozzy left here for 6 months? No. Well, you know my brother Jack took it. Well, good. Well, not according to Ozzy, because he sunk $150 into that X-Decycle to fix it. Yeah? And Ozzy wants it back now. Now, what are we going to do about this? I said, let me get this straight. Both warehouses that I pay a fortune for have you two leeches dropping your junk off, essentially moving into and living off of. One leech drops an X-Decycle off. The brother of the leech borrows the X-Decycle. Ozzy's dropped his junk off now. He's got a plaster Paris ET with a Prussian helmet on that's just getting soaked out in the rain right now. And what do you want me to do? Get off my ass and head down there and straighten this thing out? You two retards, settle this. And don't call me next time a couple of guys whose combined age is 100 when $40 worth of X-Decycle gets borrowed from the other guy.
And borrowed from the other guy from your warehouse.
Yes.
The guy that actually has the thing is almost the least involved.
Let me explain this, people. Stuff. When you get stuff, when you get a warehouse, when you get an extra car, when you get a truck. Oh, it starts small. You get a pickup truck. Then the phone rings. Hey, dude, I'm moving this weekend. Can you give me a hand? Well, get an extra house. Get a warehouse. Get a couple extra things. Forget about the extra money in your wallet. Oh, yes, everyone wants that. Just the extra junk. The tools, the truck, the warehouse, the extra house. Oh, you wait and see. And then you wait and see who takes care of everything whenever something happens. And then the phone calls. Ozzy's dropped the junk off in front of the warehouse. Yes, it's what, awesome.
Should I know what an X-Decycle is? Anyone?
What is that thing? It's an X-Recycle.
Stationary bicycle.
Yeah, no. Stationary bicycle.
But if you take it on ecstasy, you know the problem? Not only burn calories,
everybody
but you
have a thing inside in the warehouse.
Well, yeah. What's the problem?
The problem is no respect to the people.
I see.
You leave your junk at my warehouse, and then Donnie, who uses my other warehouse, lends it to his brother. No respect.
No respect, right.
I should have been tripping over your exercise cycle for the next 10 years. All right, Ozzy.
It's only 7 months in your warehouse.
All right. Did you get your exercise cycle back yet?
No. Okay. I'm waiting.
Uh-oh.
Ozzy, don't take this in the wrong way, but I'm looking at you.
Who's using that
exercise?
Your wife. Huh? Your wife uses it.
She's trying to get away from Ozzy on exercise. Stationary bike.
It's not going anywhere. Well, Ozzy, you saw The Kingdom, right?
Ah, yes, The Kingdom.
The Kingdom is the review for today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have an intro. Here we go.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie I am reviewing today is The Kingdom. The Kingdom star Jamie Foxx is Ronald Fury. Jennifer Garner is Janet Mays. And Jason Bateman is Adam Levitt.
Jason Bateman.
Oh.
Jason Bateman.
Wow, this guy
keeps working.
He really cooled off a little. He was like a sitcom guy. And he was like one of those 80s sitcom guys. And I was like, all right, well, hope you saved your money, buddy. Yeah. Now he's doing work.
The Kingdom is a political action film.
Long-time Bateman fan back in Nicaragua?
I don't know. I live here for 22 years. I don't know.
I ran into him once. He told me he was huge amongst the Sandinistas.
Yeah. They love Arrested Development.
I actually have a question about that. It's a little self-serving. Did they have the Partridge Family in Nicaragua?
What you say?
A TV show I did when I was a little kid where the family sang. Was that in Nicaragua?
Where the little guy.
Oh,
yeah. It's Malo.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Partridge Family? Weird? Did you have the Partridge?
We're huge in Kuwait.
Really? Isn't that bizarre? All Latin America.
Yeah?
The Partridge Family.
Gigantic.
Yep.
Oh. You know the song for the Partridge Family? Do you know the plot?
Yep.
What's the plot?
It's for the characteristic, you know, American trick in the family.
Huh?
Yeah, close
enough. Typical American family.
What did they drive around in?
I don't know.
40 years.
Come on, buddy.
The guy took a chainsaw to his neck.
Hey, did it piss you off sitting in Nicaragua, seeing six people in the bus, when in your own country you have people on top of the bus?
Yep, every time.
There's 700 people stuffed into a 40-seat bus, and 40 of them are hanging to the roof getting cleaned off by the overpass, and then you got to watch the Partridge Family with just five happy white people in the huge school bus.
Put a hen, chicken inside in the bus, and you see it, and people pass the chicken in your face. It's very funny. Yeah.
That's how you know that's a country you don't want to live in, when they have a chicken riding shotgun on the bus. All right, sorry.
Yeah, The Kingdom is a political action film.
Mm-hmm.
After the bomb detonated in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, the White House leader killed several lives.
Let's see, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and they kill several people, yes.
Yep. USA Special Agent, Commander Agent Ronald Fury.
I think it's Fleury, it looks like here, but Fury, better name.
Fleury, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jamie Foxx, coming to investigate for only 5 diplomatic days.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered a suspect group and one in the Saudi area.
Suspects.
Suspect, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Harriet Cleed, the Janet, Jennifer Garner, explained to war.
Wait, what is audio it? What do we have?
Clip with Janet Garner.
All right.
Right.
Finally get to see your clip.
Here it is.
Nice. Hello world. You know the song, Ozzy?
Hey.
He doesn't. Look, let me explain
there's
something.
There's a war, here a song, started singing. Come on, get happy.
Talking to Ozzy is like talking to an old black guy that used to train fighters. And you know when you talk to that guy at the gym and you're like, he's like, hey, champ. And you're like, hey, man, you know, I have one of those TiVos at home. It's awesome. Yeah, TiVos, awesome. Do you know what I'm talking about? Zero, TiVo.
Yeah,
do you have a TiVo? No, I'm thinking about giving me one of them TiVos. But, you know, it's like a VCR, but it's better. You could watch. Do you have shows you watch? Sure, I like shows. Wait, what shows you watch? Oh, yeah, I watch all kinds of shows. Well, you should get one of those TiVos. Yeah, okay, TiVo. And then you walk away and you go, I have no idea whether that guy knew what I was saying or not. No. He could have just been repeating what I was saying or nodding his head or sort of. I got the feeling he sort of knew what I was saying, but I don't think he can fully conceptualize this idea. That's Ozzy.
That's because those trainers, unlike yourself, had very bad professional careers and became trainers. So they've taken thousands of hits.
This is the problem.
What's the problem?
This is my diplomatic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My diplomatic defense.
I was thinking the same thing. He's trying to have a pleasant interaction.
I understand.
Being diplomatic.
Mm, yep. TiVo. All right. So let's play the clip.
You? Hello, war. Hello, Sontari. Singing. Come on, get happy.
All right.
Al-Qaeda lost the first phase of this war. They know it. So a new zero-sum phase has begun. If you're a Westerner or a moderate Arab and you won't join us, we will let loose the truly talented murderers. Men like Abu Hamza. These are operational commanders who plan, organize, train, brainwash, preach extreme violence. These are the men we're fighting.
I was fighting boredom during that clip.
I don't know why she feels like a lightweight to me.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
She's pretty, she's perky, she's fun. I wouldn't mind seeing her in a romantic comedy, but just doesn't feel like this person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
feels
it's not
a little tinny and hollow.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they passed over a handful of people. You don't know in every movie is that went out to a whole bunch of people. Nicole Kidman and 10 other people said no. And then it got to this.
Yeah.
Or it conflicted with their schedule. All right.
Yeah, that always happens to me.
Bring it home, Ozzy.
The team is ambushed and one...
The team is ambushed?
Ah.
Yeah. And one the team member is kidnapping.
Kidnapped.
For the bad guy.
The bad guys, yeah.
Try to sacrifice him in front of the world.
The world.
The world.
World.
War.
World.
World.
World. He's got the whole world in his head. He's singing along, Ozzy. He's got the whole world.
You got the whole world.
Good.
You got it, baby.
World, baby.
War.
All right. It's a little different, you know?
Rescue. The kidnapping man.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Ozzy.
Yep.
When you say World War II, does it just sound like War II?
World War II.
Yeah, exactly.
World War II.
World
War II.
Say World War II.
World War II.
All right, it is.
World War II.
World War II. We're all there. Yeah. WW2, World War II. All right, okay. Sorry.
I say the kingdom left the reviewer cold.
And that was us, what was movie review. We hope yes. You did not end up.
Let me say something. I don't have a time for coming down, you know, and the time cooking in the roof. A lot of wind, a lot of cold.
A lot of wind and cold?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Friday for yeah, Teresa's Friday, yeah. Mock wedding.
I know coming for say Teresa, congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
And special to you and Lynette for the anniversary.
Mm.
Merry yeah. anniversary Friday, the last Friday.
Mm. Yeah. For thank you.
My for friend Adam and Lynette.
Thank you. Thank you for not getting her flowers, no. by the way, this year, yeah. too, which is something that Ozzy likes to do. He likes to get my wife flowers for her birthday and anniversaries and things like that. And then she goes, oh, you got me flowers. And then I go, Ozzy may have dropped those when he was in earlier. And then she goes, oh, well, where's your flowers? And I go, well, I feel like Ozzy pretty much covered the flower. We'll go ahead and check that box off right there. Flowers, check.
Ozzy, you know, thank you very much for catering my fake wedding. Yeah.
Next time you tell to, I tell to Ozzy, bring the flower. You know? You defend yourself.
All right, Ozman, great job as per usual. We are going to take ourselves a break, but it's Monday, hence Music Monday. Right. Now, songs,
thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
songs
Ozzy.
To get the party started, but more importantly, songs that get people to leave like rats out of a sinking ship. We have the good, the bad. It's Music Monday. It's next.
Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. We'll be playing some songs that'll get the party started and some songs that'll end it right quick. Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Music Monday. All right. I don't know how we stumbled onto this, but songs to get the party started, to let people know the party's on. Get people out on the dance floor just to let them know they've arrived, and songs to get them out in the house, because flicking the lights on and off doesn't cut it anymore. So how do you let them know the party started? How do you know it's time to get in your car and get your drunken ass out of my house?
I woke up at 3 in the morning and realized I forgot this. Mike, do you see what time he came in? And I just sat down, and really good ones just came to me. I usually panic. 3 really good ones just came to me, typed away, and went back to bed.
Good and bad. I'm loaded for bear, too. T, you ready to roll?
Yeah.
All right. Music Monday. First song. This is an example of the parties getting started. An oldie but a goodie. Don't play it anymore. Never hear this song by the great Sam Cooke.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way. Where the people are so gay, twisting the night away.
You know why I like this? Because it tells you how you should move your body. I'm a
right.
horrible dancer, and it makes me very self-conscious.
Show me.
This is just easy. You just twist.
If it does what you say, and you can do it,
right.
Show me.
And you don't really have to go all out.
You
can stand
that,
and just twist a little.
This is so much better than his follow-up, Robot Your Ass Off, Bitch.
Yeah. Danny's got it.
Yeah.
You don't have to move very much.
Danny likes the twist because it's a good smoker's dance. He can have a cigarette in his hand and a highball in the other. It's a great dance if you like to drink and have a smoke out on the dance floor. You actually hold your hands in you hold your hands like you have a cigarette between your fingers, palms up, shake your lower end, but I like a top end where I can do a little smoking and drinking. I don't like, I just let the bottom end move.
I'd like to have a little meeting with the whole, like, us and then the brass.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking that maybe you guys describe my life just a shade better than it is. Mm-hmm. So let's say I go back to drinking just a little. Mm-hmm. And then if I ever act like an ass, you go, oh, no, you are an alcoholic. You can't drink. But if I don't, you say, you know what? Your wife was just mean to you and you were sad for a decade. You drank too much. I think I should get back in the game. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no better song to do it to than Sam Cooke.
Promise not to fire me for one stupid mistake. You just go, oh, no, we took a trial.
So you want one freebie.
If I decide to do it, I'm a little scared. But if I decide to do it, I want a promise of not being fired.
Binge drinking the night away.
I don't judge. You know that about
you would.
Me. Yeah, Sam Cooke, you have a great retro sound here. You have a call to dance, but not a mandate. No one's pushing you out there like Moni Moni. And it's just a fun party. Sam Cooke, by the way, great soul singer. And gunned down at 33.
Is that right?
33 years of age. You know, when you're a kid and you heard about all these guys like the immortal Sam Cooke or Nat King Cole, and they're like, oh, these guys aren't around anymore. They just died as old black men, you thought, when you were 11 years old. 33 years of age, shot at a hotel in Los Angeles. Went into the manager's office. You know, so many of these deaths, you know, whether it's Marvin Gaye or Sam Cooke, are just over $40 or an argument with a dad. Or he went into the manager's apartment or room of the motel he was at, got into an argument with a chick. He'd probably been drinking or something. He wanted to know where another chick was that he brought with him. She said, I don't know where he is. And she shot him dead.
Yep, that'll happen.
Just nothing.
Chicks. The worst I've ever been hurt, and I've been hurt a lot, have been by women.
Somebody, you know, everyone realizes or remembers the celebrities, you know, that were assassinated or died in a plane crash or something. I would like someone to put together a list of notable people who've died for less than $50. Hmm. Or the equivalent of nothing. Like Alfalfa from Spanky and Our Gang. With the hair poked up and the bow tie and all that. His story, I don't know why I got onto this, but we're just talking about needless deaths.
I'm into it. Go.
He borrowed a guy's hunting dog. He grew up in the valley where I grew up. The San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles. Used to be a lot of hunting lodges and things out there. He borrowed a guy's hunting dog because he worked as a hunting guide when he was like 35 or 40. You know, out of show business, doing a fair amount of drinking, but making a little scratch, taking guys out on these little hunting journeys. He borrowed his buddy's hunting dog. He lost the hunting dog. He then made a reward, $10 for a hunting dog. Well, somebody found it and somebody wanted the reward and he owed somebody $10 and one thing led to another with him and his buddy and he pulled a knife on his buddy and his buddy shot him dead.
Yep.
Because he borrowed his dog, offered a $10 reward and didn't want to pay it. Good
for
time.
$10, that's a good time. Yeah. Now in Thailand, and I don't know if this is the case anymore, but in Thailand you are for the longest time not allowed to ride on the back of a motorcycle. Because you'd pull up next to the guy at the light and shoot him in the brains for $20.
Wow.
Ooh.
Running price for a hit in Thailand was $20.
I was trying to remember about Michael Jordan's dad.
Good times.
Wasn't he was just for
resting.
Nothing?
He was just resting. He was killed, and then they found out they had nothing. He wasn't killed for nothing. He was killed because they thought he had something.
Right.
Enos Cosby was murdered for, a few bucks. It's absolutely amazing. Yes, Bald Brian, you were going to yell something?
Christopher Marlowe, the guy who wrote Dr. Faustus in the 1500s, was killed over a dispute over a bar bill.
A bar bill.
In a tavern, over the bill.
Well, at least people are drinking.
Right.
All right, Twisting the Night Away, the legendary Sam Cooke. Now, someone else who died long, long before their due, before their time. And this is not an example of a good song. This is how you clear people out. It's got the end right in it.
Yeah. Party's over.
No need to flick the lights on or open the door. People start making their way to their cars.
When you made your point, let me tell you my blowhard statement about this guy.
Okay. I think my song speaks for itself. If I heard this at a party,
time to go. Amy has a fixation on this guy that is now taking the point of jealousy. And we're walking down the streets of New York, and she pointed a picture at him and said, hey, there he is. And I said, no! There's a picture of Jim Morrison! And then I pointed at myself and said, here he is! Just like that. Picture.
You're the new Jim Morrison?
No, just I'm the he.
Oh, I see.
Right. He doesn't get to be the he. I'm the he.
Uh-huh. He gets to be the it.
Yeah. There's Jim Morrison. Isn't that neat? Great band. Okay, fine. But there's one he in your life, and you're talking to him.
The
you're not
looking
to be
the jester.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe he could be the him, but he's not the he.
I'd dig that bastard up just to punch him in the face again for all the hassle he causes me.
Well, I've been to his grave in France.
Oh, yeah.
It's good times.
Some people think he's still alive, Danny.
Not smart people.
All right, that's a example of a good one to clear people out of the house. The next one, totally different vibe, but just as effective at clearing people out after the party.
I had a dream. A dream about you.
I feel like this party's just getting started.
This is my mom. My mom's busting this out right now.
They think that we're through.
No, I'd start holding my ears and running for the door.
You'll be great.
You know when you look in the you know when you're looking in the Sky Mall and you see that ad for the thing that deters rodents with sonic sound. You hear it's a drawing, but you see the little squiggles of sound coming from the speaker and you see the rats running in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
That's what this would be with me and Ethel.
Rocking the house with Ethel.
This causes straight men to flee.
Well, speaking of straight men, our next one, and again, you try to figure out different ways. You know, you go the slow, morose one, and then you go the loud, over the top one. But here's the slightly gayer direction.
Bad boys, bad boys.
I like the song.
Duran Duran.
I love Duran Duran.
You know, one guy's party ender is another guy's party starter.
What decade was this made in? I have no idea.
Late '80s.
Huh? 80s?
How can you tell?
Hold on. Just because there's synsonic drums, and if I close my eyes, I can see the guy playing the two Casios that are spread out too far apart.
When he goes 80s, I just assume I'm stupid.
That's right. He would play the two.
He's being sarcastic.
Now, that's what you do. You take the two Casio, you take the Roland and the Casio keyboard. And if you stretch your arms out, straight out, if you're a six-foot guy, you'll get about 6 foot of width on you. That's about your fingertip to fingertip, your wing spread is about your height. So if the keyboardist is 6 foot, you spread him out about 6'4". Then he plays the whole thing hunched over with both hands as wide as he could possibly get.
Don't forget the stack.
Yeah.
So he can go up, too.
Yes.
He doesn't just have to play in the iron bar if you were an Olympian or the Jesus position. He can go up.
What was your first concert you ever went to?
I think the first concert I went to was the Cars.
Oh, that's pretty good. It's not embarrassing.
Steppenwolf.
Wow.
This song is so gay. Is it just me or did Duran Duran just do that weird moaning? Like, you know when kids are about to cry and you go like, what's the matter, Timmy? And they go, oh no. That, they start with the big breathy. Duran Duran does a lot of that.
It's a style.
Little boys. Is this from the movies? Shouldn't have been. There was a movie, Wild Boys, right? Someone should have gobbled this baby up.
I think you're thinking of.
I think of another Lost Boys movie. Oh, I'm thinking of Lost Boys.
By the way, Power Honda of Valencia, you think I'm just throwing it apart, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. Remember Laddie, the littlest vampire, the cute little vampire that wore the Civil War jacket?
Now headed the sales department over in Power Honda?
Nope, just a sales guy.
No.
But if you want to go see cute little Laddie from Lost Boys, he's a Power Honda of Valencia.
All right, well,
Lost, far away from Laddie.
Lost Boys, super gay, and another reason to clear out of my party. I am attempting to drive you from my home, if you put an O on the end of that, using their music. All right, so we have my entries. We have some good ones up on the lines, too. And, of course, we have Danny's and Teresa's as well as my number one. Good music to get the party started and better music to clear the party at the end of the night. We'll take a quick break. Be back with Music Monday next.
It's more Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. Songs that start the party and songs that end it really fast. Call 866-901-ADAM. More Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have your suggestions. I'm looking up at the screen. A lot of them are very strong efforts. Again, starting the party, ending the party. I gave you some good and some bad. I'll start with another good one to start the party. Then we'll hear what Dan T. have to say. A little band called the Swingin' Medallions.
Yeah.
I love the name of that band. Double shot of my baby's love. It's time to tap the keg when you hear this song. What's great, too, is this charted in 1966. You know, at least two members of the Swinging Medallions have started their own bizarre religious cult.
I thought we were going to say we are dead.
Oh, two of them are dead, but there's got to be one. There's got to be one that started, that became a born-again something and believes in some nutty religion and is the most uptight, weird, bald-headed guy with a funky mustache and bad frames on his glasses and does never wants to talk about those days, but you could pull out some pictures of with him with a handlebar mustache and hair down to his waist with a medallion hanging around his neck. The Swinging Medallions.
I bet one of the Swinging Medallions works with the Lost Boy selling cars.
Dude, a couple of my favorite movies, Uncommon Valor. Do you remember that movie with Gene Hackman?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that surfed and then he was the explosive guy, the handsome blonde guy. He sells cars in Calabasas.
Yeah, that's what you go to. When the career dries up, you go to moving cars in Calabasas. All right, T.
All right.
What do you got?
Well, I judge a song if I can dance to it sober, and there are very few.
Michael Jackson.
Very nice, very nice.
Everybody gets up and dances when this comes on.
Especially the kids.
Do you guys have songs that mean certain things to you in certain times and even have certain lyrics to them? You know, like when you're a kid, you just change the lyrics to something about your bicycle or some girl you had.
I do it all the time.
Sure.
This song, I don't know why, and then once it gets hardwired into your brain, that's it. This song came out in like 79 or 80
exactly,
or
79.
Something like that. I was on the junior varsity football team. I was 15. I was in high school. And there was a big black guy named Alonzo on the team. And whenever the song would pop up, the words were from all the other brothers on the team. And they didn't call him Alonzo. They called him Lonzo. It'd be Lonzo kissing my fat ass. And every time this song comes on, I'll be 89. I'll be clinging to life. I'll be on my deathbed. And the Muzak version of this will come through the single speaker that's piped into the ICU. And my 89-year-old brain will just go, I'll be clinging to life. And it'll be Lonzo kissing. And then I'll flatline. Flatline. And that's where I'm going.
Don't stop till you get enough. Don't stop till you get a guy named Jeff. Don't stop till you also get filthy. I found the songs get filthier and filthier as you make up the words.
Yeah, but this is that, and the weird time it got burned in and how it got twisted around, and if you made a little something out of it. This will always be Lonzo, the big-ass black guy from my junior varsity football team in 1979. All right. Good song, except for
good
me.
Song.
Can't dance to Lonzo's big black ass. That would be weird.
You have to put that out of your mind.
Danny, what do you got? What's going to get the party started?
Now, this was a very easy choice for me. It's not just on the nose. I happen to love this song. I think it's one of the best to-the-point rock and roll songs ever.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
Yeah, simple but effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I realized sometime after feeling bad about On the Nose, and then I realized in charades, touching your nose means you're exactly right. So yep. I feel pretty comfortable now. Crank this up just a little bit. Listen to that.
Yeah, I always like this song.
It's a great song. It means exactly what it says.
Yeah, I'm not proud of myself, but I do always like this song. Very simple, but effective.
That was my throat cancer. Wow. Oh, what a rocket. That's a great song, man. That party's no jumping. They're drinking.
Well,
balls are coming off. People are jumping in the pool.
But now.
I don't even have a pool.
But now, it's time to go home. And no person to get them out to their car faster than Maureen McGovern singing about a commercial. Commercial cruise liner that capsized in the Pacific. That's right. Poseidon Adventure theme.
Have you cracked 1970?
Let me look down here.
I don't think so.
Ooh. Yeah, what about the Wild Boys? What year?
Sorry.
You can't tell where it was from. It's saying, go home and find the morning after this. Maritime disaster, best way to get people out of your house.
Yeah.
I would say that would do it. If your apartment flips over and the pool on the roof comes dripping down through, people are bound to leave.
I think this song won an Academy Award.
Really?
I think it won that year. All right. Oh, wait, I have a newer song.
What?
Yeah, I got one. I got one from just last month.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go,
kids
flapper.
Like this.
Some flappers. Which is what I used to call thalidomide babies.
Kiss my flap. All right. Well, that's going to make people sad and get them out of the house. T, what's going to get them out of your place?
Okay, this is just one that's going to make me leave a party. The party will continue. Mm-hmm. But I personally hate this song because it's a mandate. You have to dance and you have to act it out. It's awful.
Yeah.
And this is always a spring break frat party thing, and I feel like there's going to be some vaguely non-consensual sex.
Yeah, it's not technically rape, but in the eyes of the law, it is.
You hear this, and you're going to be in a bad situation.
Plus,
in about an hour.
This forces you to do that move where you hold your nose, put your hand over your head, and do the dunk move.
Don't make me act out the song. Do not.
And the song's 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's forever.
We must have been doing a lot of coke in the 80s.
Now you think?
When I say we, I mean Danny and his nostril.
I don't think I even took a car in the 80s because I was just faster on foot.
The song comes on, I leave.
Yeah, I agree. Danny, what do you got? What are you going to clear the party with?
I think you'll like it, ladies. Just, I love the band, too. Triangle. Here it comes. There we go.
Is this Poison?
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue?
Don't go away, man. Just go away.
Here we go. Here's the problem with this song. Too upbeat. People may mistake it for a good song, yes. For a non-leave song. You have to listen to the lyrics.
Then you just smack one of them in the head and say, not kidding. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I
always like, you know, I want to get in with Corolla. I hate it when he chastises me. So you smack one of these bitches in the heads, ain't not joking. Really. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Corolla said so.
We have a very effective entry on line one from Fresno, Ken. Ken?
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Hi.
What's your song to get people out of your house?
Well, if I was having a party and a song that came on that made taking my life not sound like such a bad idea, I'd probably start patting for keys. So I say Suicide is Painless, the theme for MASH.
MASH, sure.
You never hear the beginning.
No, this is just another version, I think. Or is it later in the same song?
This song with the lyrics is played in the movie.
Yeah.
Directed by Robert Altman, written by Robert Altman's 14-year-old son at the time.
Really?
But is this that version?
No, this is the movie version, not the TV version.
We use the TV version.
Right.
Okay.
It's nice when your 4-year-old son is talking about suicide. Aren't you supposed to write songs about cows jumping over the moon or cotton candy or tire swings or something? What the hell are you writing about suicide for at 14?
Because your dad's Robert Altman.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah?
Nice job.
Thank you.
If I had a windbreaker or a beer koozie with my name on it, I would send it out to your dump in Fresno, but I don't.
Well, I appreciate the thought.
Nice. Are you off to work, Ken?
I'm actually at work.
Mm. Being able to call a radio station from work is either a good thing or a very bad thing. Either means you have your own office, your own line, you're your own man, you're your own boss, and you get to do what you want, or it just means people don't care.
Rich man, poor man.
Mm-hmm. Ken?
Very nice.
Yeah?
Which one are you?
Well, I'm driving right now, so technically in my mobile office.
Uh-huh. You drive a rig, you do deliveries?
No, I'm a land surveyor, so I gotta go to different job sites.
Mm. That surveyor gig, you the guy standing with the stick? Because that's the guy who's riding bitch, you know? One guy gets the transit. He sets up the tripod, he puts his eyes, he writes down the little things. But then the other guy has to stand and hold a stick 100 yards away. And by the way, anytime you can be replaced with a coffee can filled with sand, that's a bad sign. You understand? Like, do we really need the guy to hold the stick who's standing on the other side of the street? How about a Christmas tree stand? You're out of business. You've been replaced by a thing that's $8 you can get from IKEA. Ken?
Yeah?
Which guy are you? Are you on the business end of the stick, or you get to be the camera guy?
Well, the newer equipment, we only really need one guy, so maybe I'm my own bitch.
You're your own bitch.
Wow. You'd save a lot of money on cigarettes in jail.
So you just sit there and shoot elevations, and you don't need the stick guy anymore.
Nah, stick guy's out.
Wow.
Good times.
It's important to be self-reliant and to be your own bitch.
That's true.
Yeah.
T, you ought to write self-help books.
I just did.
Be your own bitch.
Be your own best bitch.
I was a stick guy for a while.
You were the stick man.
Yeah, and I was chastised because I had to write. I was holding the stick, and I had to write on the side of the alley or the building or whatever, like 24 foot, 9 inches. But because I was warehoused instead of educated, and because I'm functionally illiterate and retarded, and I was 19, you should have seen how retarded I was back then. I didn't know the symbol for foot in inches, you know, the two dashes and the one dash.
Oh, no.
They tell you through a foot.
That's where I thought we were going. That's where I thought we were going.
I drew an inchworm. No. I drew foot. I started writing foot, like, with a spray spelling can, out, yeah. And the guy was yelling, write the stupid symbol. I was like, huh? You want the hang 10 symbol on the... No, the foot. And it was humiliating. I remember the guy going, you don't know that the one thing is for the foot and the two thing is for the inches? I was like,
Wow.
Can't we get one of them wrap sandwiches that everyone's into now? There was a wrap place in Chatsworth. That's all I wanted. All right.
Poor guy.
All right. So when I yell at you, realize, everybody, I was a retard holding the stick at once in my life. Okay, where were we? Yes. Bad. Well, here's my bad. T, you'll appreciate this one, I think.
I can do this one. I couldn't find it.
It's an Irish lullaby.
It's beautiful. It means goodnight.
This isn't in every, you know, this is not in your face. Get the F out of my house. This is you saying to your wife, like, where's my sleeping hat? Did you bring that? Is that in your purse? That pointy hat that flops over? It's like a dunce cap with no starch.
Oh, yeah. No, Ebenezer Scrooge won the first two episodes.
Yeah, did you pack that, sweetie? You get my sleeping hat? It's 3 foot long for some reason. I don't know why. Seems like a 2 foot sleeping hat would work, but I put it on, but it doesn't stand up. It falls over. It's the tired version of a hat.
Right.
The sleeping hat is the hat that goes,
over in Killarney. Yeah, this is very sweet, like when the Von Trapp kids come down and sing So Long Farewell.
Right.
At the party. Everyone go home.
Well, give me your number one and you get the F out of my house, T.
Seems like to me this party's gonna get really weird. This is from a movie called Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh. Never saw the movie, but this means the masks are coming out. There's a little role-playing and trading and swinging, as it were.
This track is called Masked Ball.
Oh, really?
And so, it's creepy.
And no one's going to look like Nicole Kidman or Tom Cruise. I can guarantee you that. Not the dregs that are left over at your place.
No. Not at 4 a.m.
So it's going to get bizarre and take a turn for the sexual, but in a bizarre way.
Yeah, I think I want to go now.
See, I'm just getting out the butter from the fridge, seeing where I can smear it. Hoping I waxed my chest that day so the parquet doesn't clump up.
All right, Danny, what is your number one Get Out of My House song?
Now, this is kind of weird for me because this is not on the nose. I like the song that says Get Out of My House. And I had a couple. They literally say, get out of my house. Mm-hmm. I thought the other one right on the nose. This one, I ventured a little bit. What the hell?
Another maritime disaster song.
Yeah.
Yep. I think this bitch starts singing about
Celine Dion.
Yeah. And she's gone. Your friends are gone. Your friends hate you. They may never speak to you again.
Her heart goes on, but the party doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what's sad?
And it wouldn't even kill me if her heart didn't go on.
None of us own, I'm guessing none of us own any Celine Dion CDs.
No, not even me.
Three notes into that pan flute, we all knew the song.
Right. You couldn't escape it.
Very sad. Yeah, it's time to clear out of the Ducci residence.
Thank you.
I agree. All right, I have a couple good ones from you guys, and I also have my number one. Do we have eight on there, line eight, Bald Brian? See if you can
that's a good one.
Find that one. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Do you have an entry?
Yeah, this stupid, sappy song from the 70s, Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jack.
Every word of that song.
I was going to use this, and then I deemed it too current.
Right.
I like to stay in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
I love this song. In a horrifying way.
This song is right in the middle of many things in my life that fall under the heading of I do not like this, I would not pursue it, but if it showed up, I'd not turn it. If I was driving in my car and this popped up on the radio, I would hear it out.
Yeah, but for novelty to sing to your wife that you happen to know all these words.
Yeah, probably. Either way, I ain't switching the channel.
No.
What era? Is this from the 50s? 60s?
70s.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the hills that we climbed were just seasons out of time.
Here's the weird part.
Here's where we get a lot of calls.
No, don't
sing.
We're having a ball out here.
All right. This is when his papa died, and he prays for me, and he was a black sheep of the family. I know every lyric to the song.
His dad dies in the song? That's
sad. Listen, I don't know what it was in the 70s. There was no iPods, and there was no anything, and there was just a radio, and there must have been eight songs, and they just played them over and over, and they got burned into your soul. And that was it. I know every word to Seasons of the Sun. I don't have, or Seasons in the Sun, I don't have the CD or the record or anything. I never did have it. Just AM radio. Listen to 10Q back in the day. All right, let's go to my number one entry. This one is on the nose. I like to mix it up.
The party's over. This is Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
See, the party's over means all the dope smokers should leave.
I just remember the Dandy Don Meredith version of this. He would sing at the end of every Monday Night Football when the other team scored, and it was now 34-10, and there was 5 minutes left, and there's no way they were going to overcome this deficit. And he would sing, turn out the lights, the party's over.
This is really good, because it's slightly upbeat, but not enough that you want to stay at the party.
And it's one of those things where if your friend says, hey, man, I'm going on a beer run, or hey, man, how about you heat up that lasagna that's in the refrigerator? You just point at the speaker.
It's over.
Yep.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Listen to the long-haired man who owes the IRS $80 million and smokes copious amounts of weed. Party's over, my friend. All right. Party's over for Music Monday as well.
That's it? I was just getting into it.
Unless.
That was one of my favorite.
We want to talk so to good. Rob on line six.
Oh, heck, why not?
It's a joke that never gets old around here. Rob?
Yes, sir.
How do you clear people out of your house?
Well, this song is to a party as overhead fluorescent lights in the kitchen are to a cockroach. That's what I'm going to say.
All right, let's hear it.
Didn't see it coming. I'm shocked. It's so funny. Really, really. Unfortunately, the opening words are hello. Hello, and then get happy. I don't know that this ends your night, although it ends mine. It's going to end my friggin' career. It's going to end my friggin' tombstone, but I don't know if it's you're on the right track.
Would you like that on your epitaph? Because I've seen Mel Blanc's tombstone, and it says, "That's all, folks."
Yeah, people screw around. That's nice. But it'll be funny
first of all,
when they're playing Come On, Get Happy on the bagpipes at Bonaducci's funeral. That'll be the ironic
part. First of all,
part.
I'm not that happy. I don't want you to be that happy. I don't care for anybody to be that happy, especially that I'm dead. What I planned was I wanted to be buried out front of the gates of Forest Lawn, where all the movie stars are.
Yeah.
But to be outside the gate, kind of on the sidewalk, and it would say that way, kind of above the titles, Danny Bonaducci in Forest Lawn. That's what I wanted. My name above the titles.
I don't know that we can do that, but I think we could arrange.
Kill me?
Well, we could at least make a speed bump out of you.
That would be bad.
That's what they should do in those places. They have speed bumps. Why not make them celebrities?
I don't see why they can't bedazzle his tombstone.
All right. We've now come full circle because we started off with the late, great Sam Cooke, cut down in his prime, who's buried in Forest Lawn, and we ended with Danny being buried at Forest Lawn. That's Music Monday. Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall and many other adventures is in next. He has himself a new ABC show called Carpoolers. We'll talk to him about that next.
And now, Bruce McCullough with an open letter to the guy who stole his bike wheel. Well, why did you do it? Are you some sort of jerk or something? My front wheel. What'd you think? That I'd drive home and not notice it was stolen? What are you then? Some sort of prick? Some sort of idiot? What would you do with just my front wheel anyway? You human loser? Jerk?
And now, from the Kids in the Hall and the new ABC series Carpoolers, Bruce McCullough on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Bruce.
Woo! Quit taunting me with my past like that.
I love that theme song.
Are you kidding me? You're going to look at me and say that. Don't taunt me with my past.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
Point taken,
sir. Take a bite of Bonaducci.
Kids in the Hall, six seasons, probably started, or 92, something like that?
1947.
Wow.
It was in black and white, the first three seasons.
Some of your favorite songs were out then, Adam.
It actually started on...
that
was
our
original theme song. It was actually on CB radio for the first two seasons.
I did not know that. First off, I'd like to apologize to Bruce McCullough for thinking he was gay. Not that that's a bad thing.
No, it just hurt my wife.
His beard is upset.
That's right.
His beard is upset.
That's right.
I am the gayest hetero you'll ever meet, but I'm not gay.
Now,
gay heteros.
Now, there are a bunch of gays on Kids in the Hall, though, right? Like
there
50-50?
There was technically one.
I'm gay.
And the rest of us aren't afraid to cuddle.
I'm a cuddler. I'd kiss you right on your mouth. You're cute. I'm not gay. But really, there's only one gay character on Kids in the Hall? Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm shocked all to hell.
Well, first off, there's only, what is there, five or four kids in
there's
the hall?
There's five. There'll be four when one dies.
Uh-huh.
Then there'll be three.
Who's going to go first?
You know, I actually wanted to do a bet where we each gave each other $1,000, like put in a pot, and then the last one alive gets all the money.
That's not bad.
But nobody else wanted to do it.
I'd do it, except I'm going first. Listen to me, for God's sakes. I'm going tomorrow.
Well, Bruce, again, apologize for thinking, mainly to your wife, for thinking you were gay. Loved Kids in the Hall. Used to do sketch comedy. So when you do sketch comedy, you always look at other sketch comedy acts and go, oh, we're better than them. Or you go, oh, those guys are great. Kids in the Hall were always a great and innovative group. Everyone's out of Canada originally,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Little tiny small hickey towns. Mm-hmm. We crawled out.
and make your way to the big time. Carpoolers, name of the latest show on ABC. It's Tuesdays, 8:30. It has Jerry O'Connell in it and also Rebecca Romaine. Those two are married now, right?
Yeah, she's just a guest star. She comes up and plays Joannifer, his ex-girlfriend, at some point.
And Faith Ford, super hot blonde from Thousand Sitcoms.
Yep.
Murphy Brown and then the other
Faith.
One.
And right. Fred Goss, who is in a really underrated show called Sons and Daughters, is one of our leads as well. He's fantastic.
He also stole a clear character from me, if you care.
Fred did?
Yeah. Look at his little card, see if it jumps out at you.
Oh, wait a minute. Bruce stole it or Fred stole it?
Right down here on Bruce's card right here.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there.
Oh, Cancer Boy.
Cancer Boy. He took Cancer Boy from me.
Woo!
It's one of my main characters around here. It's Cancer Boy. Cancer Boy sings the hits.
Yeah.
I have barely any talent, and you steal one of mine?
Bruce, do you like tube and throat singing?
Yes.
This is me.
Is this The Apprentice? Oh, it's Survivor. I guess
Survivor, yes. Yeah, I think we have a Cancer Danny song, if Bald Brian can find it. Do we have something? Yeah, give a hit.
Bald Brian actually has a beautiful head of hair for everyone listening today.
Yeah, it's not on the top of his head.
Right over his scrotum.
Bruce, while he's looking for this, your new show, Carpoolers, follows this caveman show.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a look at this caveman thing?
I have only seen the promos, and they seem funny to me.
I agree, but as we were talking about during the break, Teresa and I, the show was not reviewed. They did not release the movie or the show to review, which they do sometimes with movies too. And to me, it's like when the cop tells you to pull over and then he says, could I look inside the trunk of your vehicle? And you go, no, you cannot. And he goes, well, if I can't look inside of it, that's probable cause. I will have to detain you. And you go, fine, but you can't go in the trunk of that car. Well, that means there's more than a spare tire and a road flare in there. There's a hooker whose corpse is decaying in your trunk. That's why you don't let him open it, because the guy who feels very good about the trunk of his car says, help yourself.
In fact, he says when he gets pulled over, hey, why don't you look in the trunk?
Right, take a look.
Which is another good thing to do if you have a big bag in there.
I used to do it until I found out it was gay code, and that guy was only dressed as a cop. I was wondering why he was wearing the reflective cop shades at midnight.
So you can watch yourself in his eyes.
That's right. Yeah, you're not gay.
Well, the question is this caveman thing a dead hooker in the trunk?
Well, I think it's probably a quite funny show. Mm-hmm. So you should check it out, stay around, and check out Carpoolers.
I must admit, the caveman promos are funny.
Kind of
the
funny.
Commercials.
Super funny. And the guy that does the lead caveman, the one who gets his feelings hurt the most, the one where he is going through the airport and just turns back and then just shakes his head a little.
The guy
is he's in the caveman thing, yet underplays. How hard must that be to do?
We did promos with one of the guys, and he was really hilarious. He was deadpan, and it felt, I don't know, feels okay to me.
Tubor was his name. I'm wondering, though, how does it work? If the Geico or the ad agency that creates the Geico Caveman commercial series...
Yes.
Do they then sell it? Do they get paid? Are they executive producers? Is Geico Car Insurance getting a taste of the Caveman TV series? I imagine all the above, but how does that work? They didn't invent Caveman.
Right.
I think everyone gets $1, is what I heard.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
What's Carpoolers all about, Bruce?
It's four guys who carpool together to work every day, and then, you know, they talk about the weird things in their heads. They say, what would be funnier if I killed my wife with a jar of pennies or a jar of pickles?
Which is it?
I think it's pennies.
It's pickles.
Oh, it's pickles. See, it's a debate.
Either way, it's chew-on-chew crime. Pickles or pennies? You pick your chew poison. If they ain't thinking about pickles, they're thinking about pennies, those people.
Yeah. It's just guys.
You know how you kill them? You know how you kill a Jew? Drop a penny, hit them with a jar of pickles. When they bend over to pick up that penny, pow! Right with the pickles.
True story.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
You don't have to make fun. You don't?
Sorry, I'm not Jewish, so it's funny.
Listen,
you know?
If it was a dime, I wouldn't be offended. A penny?
Sorry, Bruce. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Bruce McCullough studio, by the way. Carpoolers. ABC, Tuesdays, 8:30. Sorry, Bruce, we're discussing
the way you describe it. It sounds so good, my show. I mean, I
know.
I would be crazy not to come watch it.
Yeah, I don't really fool around with guests like this, friendly, or I mean, I'd be really mean because I think it's funny, or really nice.
Yes, I know, Daniel.
But I just like you so much and the characters you play. I just feel really comfortable just hanging, trying to crack some jokes and keep up. I'm just one of your biggest fans. I thought you were great.
Oh, stop.
I'm weirded out that you're not gay.
I'm
sorry. Maybe I should rethink it. Maybe I should talk to my God.
Well, would you ever
who
have
doesn't exist?
Can I just say this? And yep. I know we're all thinking this.
We're all friends here.
We all are gay.
We go through life with a sort of compass that steers us towards stereotypes and away from stereotypes. Like when you hear that news story and it's like, 44-year-old woman beat up a 9-year-old on a school bus, you start thinking, oh yeah. Come on, stereotype. I know what you are. That's the way I work. And I work that way with good crime and bad crime and white collar and blue collar and everything. So when I think I know, when I've recalibrated my gaydar and I feel real secure and I do that thing, you know, we do that thing where your wife goes, oh, Herb wants to be set up with it. And you're like, please. He's gay. Come on. That guy you work with, I know he's gay. Tell me. Then you find out later on he's gay and you're like, yes, thank you. I'm always right. When I find out someone I think is gay isn't gay, it screws me up. Makes me question everything.
In fact, yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't question myself. Yes, if I do something gay, I just go, I was drunk.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
I'm not really gay. A lot of
ladies' panties have hit my floor.
Let me say this.
Soft, fluttering sound. It's so beautiful.
Bruce is attractive.
Like a unicorn's wings.
Yeah, attractive to you in a cute way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I flirt
get
with
the
him.
Chicks.
If he weren't married, I would flirt with him.
Yeah. I mean, you think I'm gay, and then I say at the elevator, what about that kiss we talked about?
See, nice.
I know how to do it.
You know what? Sometimes there's a fine line between foreign and gay. He's just Canadian.
Yeah. Let me just.
A boat. And that might confuse
you. So maybe it screws you. Like queer, not queer gay, queer.
Unusual. A little different.
Hmm. Yeah, he's got a little Matt Damon in him.
Yeah.
He wishes.
And a little William Shatner, you think? With the wig and all.
Well, Bruce, we will be watching Carpoolers tomorrow.
Oh, this stuff is going to blow your mind.
Really?
Yeah. This is going to change some people's lives.
On ABC. Anything going on with a reunion, Kids in the Hall, anything like that? I know you've done some of that
stuff
over the
years.
Yeah,
we did some stuff. Actually, we did a couple sneak shows last year, and then we did a all-new material show at Montreal Comedy Festival in the summer. So we're going to try to do some more of that, but, you know, we'll see.
But until then, Carpoolers.
I have a day job.
Bruce McCullough, thank you very much. And again, I apologize about the gay thing. T?
Yep.
What's going on in the news?
Speaking of gay, some say Liz Taylor's new boyfriend is gay. Mm-hmm. She was recently asked, what's going on with those two?
Marriage!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heard that over the weekend. We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Sylvania, Alabama. A 52-year-old woman was charged with resisting arrest, assault, animal cruelty, and driving under the influence of methamphetamine and marijuana after police found her swerving around town roads on a horse. Definitely not a Jew.
Yes. T.
Yep.
Yes. T.
Yep.
In the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
If you've ever had a CAT scan, you know it's awful. You can't move. It's hard to breathe. It's claustrophobic.
Not as bad as an MRI. MRI, you go in.
Is that the banging one?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate that one.
They don't tell you that. They put you head first into a trash can and a kid beats on it with a wooden spoon for 20 minutes.
Very unpleasant.
Yeah, but CAT scan as well.
Well, 67-year-old Elvira Tellez of Tucson, Arizona, was getting a CAT scan at the Arizona Oncology Associates Medical Center. She was left in the machine alone for 5 hours.
Mm.
When she finally got out, she found that everyone had left the clinic. And they had forgotten about her. She was locked in the building.
Wow.
It gets worse. Elvira suffers from bone cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She was getting the scan to see if the cancer had spread. A technician put her in the machine at around 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
dim the lights.
Your girlfriend was hot.
Dancer Danny's in MRI. He recorded this whole album in an MRI machine.
They dimmed the lights and told her not to move and that she'd be in there for 25 minutes. She realized it was longer than 25 minutes and she started screaming for help. No one answered. She spent 5 hours working to free herself from under the heavy blanket on top of her to get out of the machine, and then she called 911.
Hold on a second.
A few times I've been around that trip, so it's not just going to happen like that, because I ain't no holla back girl. I ain't no
tried to
girl.
Sing to herself to make the 5 hours pass.
But wait a minute. They put the lead blanket on you? Is that what the heavy blanket is?
Yeah, she has bone cancer. She's 67, so she had a little trouble extricating herself.
Right. And but all you have to do is kind of slide out of there, right? I mean,
she
I know she had difficult...
5 hours.
Well, but the first 4 hours and 45 minutes were going, what the F is taking so long?
Right. Yes, I think she probably, you know, it's disorienting. You can't really see a clock. You're stuck in there.
Right.
So she was taken to a different hospital.
So she slid out. She called 911 because the place was closed down.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out.
She couldn't get out. It was locked. Mm. So she was taken to a different hospital, released the next day. She says she's had trouble sleeping since then, but so far... no legal action has been taken against Arizona Oncology
Associates. Yet. Not until her phone starts ringing. Some slimy
lawyer in the world, right?
Look, inconvenience, not life-threatening. Let's get over it and move forward.
Right.
S happens. Hey, right. How about cancer, sweetie? Who are you suing for that one? I mean, she hasn't done anything yet, but you know what I'm saying? What's a bigger deal? You being locked in that box for 5 hours or the big C? Obviously, it's cancer. Horrible things happen sometimes to good people, and oftentimes you can't solve it with an attorney. The more you know. Thank you.
You can't sue the Grim Reaper.
I guarantee somebody will call her and somebody will tell her, hey, probably get you $500K, maybe $1 million for this, and then she'll do it.
Well, Britain's not always reliable. Daily Mail tabloid seems to be suggesting that Elizabeth Taylor's supposed current boyfriend, 47-year-old Jason Winters, is gay.
What?
Again?
That's according to the Daily Mail. And that he even has a longtime partner.
Tabloid was, well, I spelled actually, it was Tabload, but that was my poor name I did for a while.
Tabload.
Mine was Tad Hunter.
What? Well, as for their supposed relationship, perhaps, as the Daily Mail is suggesting, it's just a way to get Elizabeth Taylor.
The Daily Mail was one of, well, Nightly Mail was one of the movies I was in.
Back into the limelight because she wants
Tabload in the Nightly Mail.
She wants to start up her acting career again. Elizabeth Taylor is 75 years old.
Can I say this to you?
Sure.
I'm not gay, but I feel like I could be a consultant.
To the gays?
To the gays.
What would you tell them?
I feel like I have my finger on the pulse of the gays. You know what I mean? I come up with good gay porn names.
You do that.
Good porn titles. You know what I mean? I could tell them nightclub names. We got Mr. Fister's over there in Silver Lake. Across the street from Cuffs. The Manhole. I feel like I'd be a little bit of an ambassador. You know when you go to another country? You go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And you go, please tell me your customs and your ways. You know, you don't show up in a culottes and a halter top and get shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's somebody who's from that country who says to you, look, it is important that you show a certain respect, and here's what we wear, and this is, and never, never, never do this. You never, you know.
Sanjay Kumar. This means eat me.
Yeah, I feel like I could do that with the gays. You know what I mean? The breeders are a little freaked out by the parade where you're pulling your boyfriend by the nipples and the anchor chain.
I love that part.
Tone that one down a little bit. Go ahead and, you know, the assless chaps. All chaps are assless. It's just regular guys wear blue jeans.
Under them.
Right. There's plenty of things that don't have a back on. There's smocks are assless. There's a lot of assless stuff out there. You wear something called pants, and then you put the chaps over the top. You know, just little hints.
So you want to be an ambassador from... the straight community to the gay?
Yeah, because I feel like they bump a lot of the straight people, and it'd be an easier, just like I said, you have the person from the embassy tell you when you go to another country, right?
What the customs are and how not to offend.
Right. And I'd be like, and please, please stop trying to F Bruce McCullough. The man was in tears the last time I spoke to him. He's not gay.
Entertainment Tonight spoke to Liz Taylor and her perhaps boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They were out on the town. And here is her boyfriend discussing, you know, how he makes her happy.
Elizabeth loves jewelry, and I love to buy it for her.
So now that we've seen you guys out on the town, will we see you again sometime soon?
We've been on the town before, you know.
Well, where have we been?
I don't know yet.
You've got to call us and let us know. We thought it was you. We thought you were being mysterious.
No, I'll leave that to the Hilton girls.
I know you said that you would never get married again, but this gentleman is obviously very in love. If he pops the question, do you think he's got a shot?
Marriage!
Marriage.
What do they do, mic up a macaw? Is that a parrot?
No, that is Liz Taylor.
Did a pirate come in there with his marriage parrot?
Do you want to hear just that again? I think we have.
Marriage!
Perhaps she's not ready.
You know what you need to do, Bald Brian? You need to take my favorite drop from last week.
Oh, no. Don't tase me, bro. Don't marry me, bro.
You need to do the don't tase me, bro, and mash it up with the marriage.
Don't tase me, bro.
All right, I can leave now, right? You guys are cool.
You're done today.
That is very.
We don't need to come in tomorrow.
You know what we should do?
It'll be 4 hours of this, right?
If something is so brilliant one day, if somebody just says something that tops all comedy that's going to be said that day, that guy should get to go home.
That's right. Brian, you don't get to
come
leave.
Back.
You're nothing but a tool, man.
Don't chase me, bro.
Oh, maybe you do get to leave. But I need you.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Paul Bryan. I'm the criminal mastermind. You're just my henchman. You understand? You do my bidding for me.
Right. I've got to tell you something.
I wasn't confined to this wheelchair. I'd do it myself. Sorry. Hold on. Let me say this quickly about Liz Taylor.
Marriage!
75 years old, Liz Taylor.
75 years young, if you hear that.
Yes. Right.
Liz Taylor, the gays love her. Everyone loves her. She's an icon. And every time I say, I don't get it. What's up? She loves jewelry, which, you know, I don't know if that makes you intellectual lightweight, but you're not exactly doing humanitarian work by collecting expensive brooches. You've been married 9 times, and I don't know what movie you've done in the last 25 years. It's worth a crap. And everyone's answer to me is this. She was so beautiful when she was young. Okay, you were hot when you were 16.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, can we get over it?
So was I. Look what happened.
Yes.
She was hot into her 30s. Cat on a hot tin roof.
There's plenty of attractive women out there. Why is that the end all and
be
all?
She has violet eyes.
I understand she's very attractive, but as a society, should we just focus on that? The part where someone is good looking? Doesn't it make us imbeciles?
Apparently you've not smelled white diamonds.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And do diamonds, by the way, have odor to them? Is there a scent to it?
Bulletin. Mm-hmm. I have to break in because this is important news. Possibly only to you, Adam.
Mm-mm.
Uh-oh.
Catherine McPhee.
Mm.
Your favorite woman. Beautiful and a good singer. American Idol runner-up. She's engaged. VH1.com is reporting.
To be married?
Engaged to be married to her 42-year-old boyfriend, Nick Kokas. And she says that he helped her to beat bulimia.
That was her old boyfriend's name. He was a Cuban guy.
Was she a great big fat person?
She held him down while he beat bulimia.
She's 23 and he's 42.
Yeah.
Happy daddy issues, Catherine.
Lose the weight, chubby.
No, I love Catherine McPhee.
I know. She's so beautiful.
And I swore she would dump that guy the second she had some success.
I know. It's pretty shocking.
Now I love her even more.
Well, at the box office, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's movie, The Game Plan, number one.
Wow, I love that guy, but I didn't think that movie would do any business.
$22.7 million.
Well, there's a lot of kids out there and a lot of parents who are going to get dragged to the theater, and I guess that's it, right?
Yeah. Number two, The Kingdom, $17.7 million. Rounding out the top three, Resident Evil, Extinction. $8
million. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, you know, those movies, they get all CGI'd out, and then I lose interest. too much. It's what happened with all the Star Wars movies and a lot of those kinds of movies. When they go too CGI, I can't hang.
Me either.
Right.
I miss the old stunts.
Kung Fu movies, when they defy the laws of gravity,
right.
I'm done with them. Because I know some guys that can do some amazing stuff, and they don't need that. But when you have been up there in the air longer than is possible, you've lost me in those movies. Unless they're supposed to be art films. If there's supposed to be real fight films, forget it. You've lost me.
When you see the chick running along the spider web, you go,
Have you guys seen Good Luck, Chuck, or 310 to Yuma?
I saw 310 to Yuma.
How was it?
It was good. The ending wasn't great. It was a very good movie. It was a funny, interesting movie, and the performances were good, and everything was good about it. If you like a Western, you'll like it. But the last 15 minutes got a little, huh, what? So, disappointing when a movie you like, you know what it's like? Like, there's some band, and you go check out the band, and the band just kicks ass, and the first 9 songs in the set are awesome, and then the last 3 kind of suck, and then you leave, and you go, wow, if I would have just left early, I would have gone, this is the best band ever, but they kind of went out with a whimper. It didn't make sense at the end. It had a stupid ending, and but Crow's great, and so is... what's his name? Christian Bale.
Yeah.
And, you know, good movie. Good Luck, Chuck. I did not see, although some of the reviews on that movie were novelty bad.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like, there's 2 types of reviews. There's I didn't care for the movie, and there's...
I hope they all die of cancer.
Yes, there's F minus. Like when I used to get minus 4 stars for things I did.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not, you know, star and a half is we didn't much care for this. Minus 4 stars means we're angry. That's the Good Luck Chuck reviews were angry reviews.
It came in number 4, making $6.3 million.
Mm. Yeah, there is no God.
I'm Teresa Strasser. There is no God. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Up next, a man who has at least 3 picks. Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison. I think he had 3. No, maybe he has 2. Maybe he has 2 picks.
He has 3, second in the league.
All right, well then shut up, would you? All right, well, why you got that puss on then?
I was confused. Sorry.
Well, keep it inside your face.
Play the marriage thing again, and we'll all be fine.
Here's the problem, Bald Brian. When your brain is confused...
See, remember when you liked him?
When your brain is confused, we're fine. When your mouth and eyes get confused, then I get confused because I get the confused puss. Keep the confusion contained in your brain, dude.
Don't chase me, bro.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Woo! What was I talking about?
Nice.
All right, Kirk Morrison, backer for the Raiders, who are now 2-2 and could have easily been 3-1 if they hadn't got screwed in Denver a few weeks ago, is going to be on the phone next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
Looks, throws, end zone picked off. It is picked off by Kirk Morrison.
And now, Oakland Raiders middle linebacker, Kirk Morrison, on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm slowly falling in love with Kirk Morrison from the Oakland Raiders. Great to speak to you, Kirk. I saw you featured in Inside the NFL last week. Is that true?
Yeah, had a little feature on me. Trying to... have a little fun with the game, too, you know?
Yeah, it was cool. They did a whole thing on Kirk and his dad and how his dad had season tickets and his dad's keeping it real and staying in the same crappy seats.
That was beautiful.
He got his season tickets at and he's wearing the jersey and he's up there in the stands. And Oakland is doing pretty well now. Got off to a bad start, 0-2, now 2-2 and right in the hunt. And as I said before we went to break, if not for being jobbed in Denver, could have easily been 3-1 and on top. Kirk?
We thought that we should be even 4.
Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, it's like a good word? Sorry. Sorry, Kirk.
No problem. No, we felt like we should be 4-0, man. We the first game, we felt like we just gave that one up as a team. You know, we didn't play well, and as a result, we lost that game. But we did. We felt like we were better than Detroit. But they came out with a win, and then you said the Denver job, you know, they pretty much stole that one away. But the last 2 weeks has kind of shown what this team is capable of. And we feel like we still haven't played a perfect game yet. And so that's the good thing, that we're still building for that perfect game.
Well, Dante Culpepper's now quarterback for the Raiders, and Dante did this really cool thing. I think he ran for 2 or 3 touchdowns yesterday. Right. But he ran for 1, and they were playing in Miami. And he was basically sidelined in Miami and run out of town. And he ran one into the end zone. And then he did a celebration dance that included him pointing at his knee that was surgically repaired and saying, see, Miami, works fine. I just scored on your ass, which to me means he's going to blow out his knee next week because he's jinxed himself. But it was still a gutsy move. Didn't you like that?
Oh, man, it was great to see him out there doing that because, you know, he felt like the team gave up on him. You know, they felt they wanted to go in a different direction with their quarterback. And definitely he said, hey, you know, my knee is fine. I'm working to the best of his abilities. And right now it's been so good for us. You know, definitely he's, you know, he was the back. Coming into the season, he was the backup. And now he's going to be in a starting role.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is...
as long as he keeps winning, he's going to keep starting.
Oh, yeah. But that's an opportunity he's been waiting for a while. So he's been...
Well, you know, the thing about sports is it's so amazing. I mean, one year the guy's an MVP or the guy's an all-star. He's going to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl. And 2 years later, people are like, huh? I wonder if that guy can still play in this league. And you're talking about guys that are in their early 30s, late 20s.
Right.
Oftentimes it can flip that fast. Culpepper still has a lot of good game left in him.
Oh, the tons of good game in him.
And he's bigger than anyone on the defense.
I called him a fullback, but he said he gets upset when I say that. But, man, the way he puts the ball in the air with such great touch, I mean, it's unbelievable just to watch it in practice. And then just to see him do it in the games now, it's even better.
Well, Kirk Morrison on the line. He's the starting inside backer for the Raiders. I almost said Los Angeles Raiders, Oakland Raiders.
I still do that.
You go 6'2", 240, but Culpepper, he's about 275, right?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say 275, but he's up there. He's a bigger guy, I'll tell you that.
He's a quarterback, everybody.
Oh, man, it's hilarious seeing him, though, because you would think a guy that big can't throw the ball like that. But, like I said, he has great touch, great accuracy, and unbelievable just to see it.
Like I said, I think it's all our dreams to go back to the team that canned us, go into the end zone and do a dance and point at that part. Like, right. T,
yeah.
You want to go find your old boyfriend who dumped you, right?
Yeah.
Do a dance in his apartment and point at your skinny ass, right?
That's right. Yeah. That is a fantasy.
That's awesome right there. I like that.
Well, Kirk, again, the idea that you're playing in the league and that your dad gets to sit up in the stands where he sat with you when you were a youth and wear your jersey, that is awesome. I don't know if white people do that, by the way. Do the jersey, the sun jersey thing. I don't know. Did John Elway's mom sit up there wearing an Elway jersey? She's probably wearing a blouse that was orange, but not the Elway jersey.
No,
Mike. Yeah, well, thing. I carry my dad's last name, so he feels like it's him. It's not really my jersey.
He sees Morrison on the back of the jersey. He thinks that's right. For him, right?
My jersey my mom likes to wear, it says Bonaducci all the way across the back, and then addict underneath so they know what position I play.
Why didn't you call me Betty?
Yeah, special teams.
Well, Kirk, you guys have a bye week.
Yes.
I'll explain that to you. It's not what you think it is, Danny, during the commercial break. Bye week is this week, and then you go to San Diego to play the Chargers.
Yes, definitely.
And then it's going to be revenge time. And for you, it'll be cool because you went to school. You played your collegiate ball at San Diego State.
Yeah, it's one game I always keep circled on my calendar. It's almost like a second homecoming. You know, definitely I spent the last five years of my life down in San Diego. So I have a lot of friends, just a lot of people who've been close to me. And definitely, it's like I said, it's a second homecoming for me.
You were an Aztec over there at San Diego State?
Yep, a mighty Aztec.
I've asked this from a lot of the people on the Clippers, what a Clipper was. They had no idea. Mm-hmm. Aztec, you know what it is?
Yeah, it's a warrior.
Yeah, buddy, just like you.
That's right.
Kirk Morrison, we will be listening not this Sunday, but a week from this Sunday on KLSX Free FM out here in Los Angeles because we're carrying the games. Good luck to you, buddy. Grab another pick for me.
Oh, I dropped one yesterday, but I'm going to get back on that track.
Thanks, brother. Kirk Morrison. Nicest guy in pro football.
He's so sweet.
I really do like him.
And his dad's great. And
the
Raiders.
Story's great.
Raiders are back now. That's the big story in the NFL. All right, quick break. Back to wrap it up next. I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. First, Bruce, I'm not gay. Now get back up. I know you're shocked. Bruce, I'm not gay McCullough. It's funny because Bruce, the world's gayest name, McCullough. It's a man's name, Flint McCullough. Carpoolers.
Like a Scottish boxer from like the 20s.
Yes, gentlemen, Jim Thorpe is going up against Flint McCullough. Back when they wore sashes. Put up your dukes. Carpoolers, tomorrow, 8:30 on ABC. And the nicest guy in the NFL also leads all the linebackers with three picks. Kirk Morrison from the Oakland Raiders. They got a bye week. That is this week, but next week, back on the mother station. All right. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. He's constantly dragging semen from my penis.